This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back. Three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in sunny South Beach to take on the Miami Dolphins.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo. You just heard Andy Hart. Also joined by our buddy Fat Tony here in studio, who I found out is not just bringing snacks. He brought in some barbecue chicken and stuff that we'll probably, you'll hear us eating throughout the course of the pregame show. But he also brought some notes. You brought some pregame notes here, Tony.
I have some notes, yes.
We got
someone had to do show prep.
We got Fat Tony
FT
with a stack of show prep here.
Oh, I forgot my handy wipes, though. I wanted to pull a Felger in the studio today and wipe everything down.
I forgot my handy wipes.
You one of them phobes?
No. I don't know. Look at me.
I got plenty of handy wipes in here.
We got some Purell in there, some stuff that you can start working your way through. But Fat
Kevin,
Tony,
send those in.
Fat Tony riding shotgun here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
With all his notes ready, by the way. He's got a stack of cards that's got to be, you know, an inch thick.
A ton of them. Whole stack of them. And we'll hear Tony's hot takes.
Got a lot to say about this game.
Taking you up to Patriots
and Dolphins.
Kevin has
wipes in there. He spends a lot of time by himself down here.
Patriots and Dolphins, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Sun Life Stadium. We'll get you the inactives and all the other things of that nature leading up to this game. But I want to start by taking a bigger picture look at the Patriots after their last two wins. 59-24.
They look good.
Against the Colts. 49-19 in New York against the Jets on Thanksgiving. How have your expectations shifted, if at all, after these last two wins for the Patriots?
None, really. I mean, they're where I thought they'd be all along. I still think they need to prove something to me against elite quarterbacks and elite teams. I think they've played, and we talked about this weeks ago, this second half of the season, you were going to see journeyman quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks, you know, first-time starters, rookie quarterbacks, and you kind of expected they would probably have a little bit better success. Now, I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all. Russell Wilson was a rookie quarterback, too, and he beat him. But, you know, I thought they would get better. They always get better over the second half. And, you know, the downside to all these turnovers is, well, what happens when they don't get all these turnovers? What happens when you're not having five returns for touchdowns in a two-week span and those types of things? So, you know, it's fun to watch, and it's certainly better than watching nail-biters against bad teams or, you know, going down to the Bills 21-7 and things of that nature. But I'm not sure a big picture it really tells us all that much.
Yeah, I'm largely with Andy. I think this is kind of what we thought was going to happen. I mean, it's dangerous to sort of get into the situation. Can everybody hear me? I sound like really.
I can hear you.
No, we can.
You sound like your mouth is full, but I can hear you. Yeah.
But I'm not, and I can't.
You know why?
I can't.
That's because his mouth was full when he started that.
It sounds discernibly different than the first time. I don't know. I can't hear like the talk back. Yeah. Anyway, I'm with Andy on the. I don't want to get caught into the trap of when you sort of think something is going to happen, and then all of a sudden it happens. Well, yeah, that's what we thought was going to happen. Well, every team is different. We know that, and every game sort of unfolds. But when you looked at the six-game stretch, and this is the last of that six-game stretch today, I don't think anybody really envisioned a loss. You know, I think a lot of people can go back and say, oh, well, they were 3-3, anything could happen. But everybody kind of thought they were going to be 9-3 at the end of this stretch. We did. I know we talked about it here. I would have been very surprised to have them have lost any of the previous five games. And when I say very surprised, more so than I would had they lost to Baltimore or Seattle. Now, the Arizona home game would have been, right along line.
And very few of us could see that coming. And you saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. Andy's reasoning is dead on. You know, when you face an experienced quarterback, what happens then. And we'll find out when they see, you know, these teams in the playoffs, because they don't really have many tests. I think Houston and San Francisco are two very good teams. One of them is not going to bring one of those experienced quarterbacks in San Francisco, and the other in Houston is a guy that really has never been in these big games before in Matt Schaub. So even then, I'm not sure how much we're going to find out. But in the playoffs, sooner or later, you're going to see a Manning or, you know, even Flacco at this point, maybe a Roethlisberger. And then if you get to the Super Bowl, you're probably going to see, you know, Eli Manning or Aaron Rodgers or someone, you know, that's quite
Colin
formidable.
Kaepernick.
So, you know, we'll find out then. But right now, this is, you know, I expect it to be 9-3 at the end of this stretch. And I think, you know, when you're doing your post-game show today, Adam, you'll be talking about a 9-3 team.
Fat Tony, your expectations shifted these last couple of weeks?
No, I think I agree with the guys. I hate to agree with them, but yeah, I do agree with the guys. I think that that we expected them to be those games at the beginning of the season were ridiculously close games, and they didn't have very much of a defense, and they still kind of don't have that great a defense. I just want to go back. Like we get into this whole thing about we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. You know, we're so spoiled by this team and the coach and the quarterback that. When they do well, we expect them to do well. When they do lousy, everybody gets on the on this thing where they want to jump off off a bridge. I think, though, that this acquisition in the secondary, I can't pronounce his name. Somebody help me out.
Aqib Talib.
Yeah, I think he's kind of settled those
guys.
It's
tough guys. On there, Fat Tony.
That's not the stack of,
you don't have that in your
that's
little
not
notes.
The stack
no,
of prep.
No, that wasn't the prep I did, Paul. Thanks for pointing that out, though. I think, can I get back to my point, though?
Okay,
really?
Go ahead.
I think that he's settled He settled down the secondary a little and lets the front guys do what they're supposed to do. And then you have that the monster in the middle who just picks 300-pound offensive linemen up and throws them into quarterbacks. So I think they're going to keep getting turnovers because they seem like they're becoming aggressive. And that I like to see because I always love the defense.
And you can jump in and weigh in on this as well. 508-298-0398. That's our phone number. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. With these two blowout wins, how have your expectations shifted for the Patriots? I want to take a look at the rest of the AFC and who may be their biggest threat in a moment. But quickly, these last 2 weeks, and you mentioned the big plays defensively, are an obvious difference in these last couple of games, as well as the huge scoring outputs these last couple of weeks. Why? Why have we seen that these last 2 weeks?
I think some of it's good fortune. I think they've been lucky a little bit. I mean, you can't tell me that the Julian Edelman catching a ball out of midair and running it in for a touchdown, a kick return on a guy that really wasn't even hit on the ball.
Hit on the hip.
Yeah, you can't tell me that's not luck in there somewhere. Now, I give them credit. They take full advantage of every opportunity for the most part they get. And there's a lot of teams that don't, and they practice it, and I think there is some carryover effect from play to play, a swagger. And I know a lot of people don't like that word, but I do think that being a turnover team is contagious, and it can lead to the next and the way guys play. But I do think some of it was good fortune. And when you're getting plays in all three phases, you know, Brady said it 2 weeks ago, I think, when don't know that we've ever really lost games when we get returns. When you get fumble returns, kick returns, punt returns, interception returns, and you're as good as they are on offense, you're going to win. You're getting free points. You're getting extra points that you don't have to get on offense. And an offense that's already going to score on its own, you know, 28 points a game. You're pretty much a layup that offense is going to put you in the 20s. If you get an extra 10 or 14, well, you're going to win all those games.
Or in the last 2 weeks, basically, you're talking about 21.
Right.
You know, some of those are directly I think they had five touchdowns.
Five
in the last
of the
2 weeks.
Seven this year. In the
Plus,
last
they have
weeks.
Some other returns that have gotten them like inside the 20 that have led to one play touchdown drives and whatnot. So when you do that, Andy did a really exhaustive researched piece on the turnovers and just you know how many they've been able to create over the last you know really throughout the Belichick era, but specifically the last 3 years that they jump off the page.
This is first, not, third, first.
It's not really anything new for the Patriots. They have struggled defensively, but they have been able to take the ball away. And, Tony, I agree with a point that you made about how it's almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. When they were struggling, we were all over them because they were winning, but it was a yeah, but. Yeah, they're winning, but Buffalo had the ball on the 15-yard line, and they had a chance to win the game, and they were lucky, which was largely true. Well, now you're winning 49-19 and 59-28 or whatever it was, 24. And people are like, oh, well, the other team's just turned the ball over. You know, you're lucky. it is almost to a point where this team wins so much that I'm not sure they can do anything but win a Super Bowl and really satisfy everybody around here. And we're part of it. Well, you know, we're part of everybody. I'm not saying you guys don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it either. I fall right into the trap, but I thought that was a good point that Tony brought up. It's almost like a damned if you do situation, damned if you don't.
Well, because we have, you know, some of the great balanced teams of the past in
line. Absolutely.
And I actually thought about this week, because we do it. We compare everybody to 03, 04, the defense, the balance, everything. And I was thinking, can you imagine what, and this won't come for a little while, but the quarterback situation. How many times in the post-Brady era are we going to say, well, Tom didn't do that. Tom would never do that. That's the thing with Tom is Tom, you know, and Tom, you're gonna, that poor guy, whoever it is going to hear that thousands upon millions upon billions of times. And it's unfair. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's like, you know, you're comparing him to the best ever. That you couldn't be more unfair. And I think on some level, that's what this defense faces. You know, I think there's a lot of places where they would love to lead the league in turnovers, you know, two of the last 3 years and have a turnover ratio that was among the. So, you know, they do certain things well, and you have to take advantage of your strengths and cover up your weaknesses. They're never going to be stout. They're never going to shut people down through the air. They don't have two cover corners that are just going to do it. But they need to continue, you know, plus four the last couple weeks in turnover ratio. If you can continue that, you're going to win a lot of football games. If you can't, and this is part of the story Paul was talking about, 2010, same story. They led the NFL in turnover ratio, far better than anybody else, just like they are right now. And then they played the Jets here at Gillette Stadium, didn't force a single turnover. The Jets ran for 100 yards, threw for almost 200. Sanchez had three touchdown passes, and you lost because, you know, that magic ran out. It just, you know, you couldn't roll the dice that day. That could happen again because they're counting on it right now, and we know things get tighter in the playoffs.
And that's the danger, and that's, you know, when people, and I think that's one of the reasons why you get those fears that Tony brought up. You know, when people sort of look at it and they wonder, as the Patriots arrive in Miami, you know, on NFL Network.
Bill's got a pink shirt on.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, South Beach attire.
Very trendy.
And
pink's the new black, right, or something like that?
When you talk about that.
Black.
Says the man all dressed in black. Except for a white hat.
The man in the white hat.
Kind of looks like a rapper.
There you go. There
you got
go.
A gun under there or something?
Yeah. No, he has.
Disagree with me.
He has lenses in his glasses. He's not a
That's
rapper.
That's true.
But, you know, Andy brings up the one game in 2010. You know, people say, like, can you continue this? I think they can continue to take the ball away. Clearly, over the last 3 years, they've shown the ability to take the ball away. But the question is, what happens in a game that they don't? Because they did continue to take the ball away in 2010. But one day they didn't, and they lost. Right. And in 2011, they did continue to take the ball away. Right. But on one day, they didn't, and they lost against the Giants. And now all it takes is one time. Do you win the game despite the fact that you're not creating three turnovers? And that's what will be the test for the Patriots defense at some point.
Do you guys think that the defense, which was bending and breaking in the Super Bowl era, bending and not breaking, is bending and breaking now? Because a lot of people complain, at least in my sphere, that we're giving up 28 points. And why are we giving? We win, but we're giving up 28 points. So how good is the defense? If they didn't score 59, they might have lost that game. And I think a lot of people kind of say, oh, well, they're bending and breaking now, as opposed to bending but not breaking.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just look at it, you know, one of the things Paul and I were talking about is this new adjusted points allowed, which is basically taking away, you know, returns and defensive points. And what do you actually allow and what do you actually score? And the Patriots right now are a respectable 13th, I believe, in just points allowed, quote unquote. Just all points allowed. But when you take it adjusted, they're 23rd. The points that the defense actually allows on defense,
right,
they're 23rd. And that's, those teams weren't 23rd. Those teams were better than that. And it's you know, you get into the whole yards versus points argument. Yes, this team breaks a lot more than that team ever thought of breaking.
Right. See, the Patriots don't allow any points on offense. You know, Tom Brady doesn't throw pick sixes.
Right.
You know, this team doesn't turn the ball over and have it returned on him for a touchdown. And that's the adjusted offense and adjusted defense. You know, so there might be a team, you know, like, you know, pick a team, anybody. The Rams might have a better defense than the Patriots, but the Patriots might have given up fewer points because, you know, I don't know, Sam Bradford's thrown three pick sixes.
Why is it
going to
be about Sam
sixes?
Bradford? Why are we going to take shots at my guy?
Because I picked the Rams, just as a team off the top of my head.
But, I mean, those old days, and it's what we talk about, the unfair comparisons, they had playmakers. They had guys that were going to make plays right. when it right. got tight. Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, right. Mike Vrabel, Willie McGinest. You know, Willie McGinest gets a sack, and then Mike Vanderjack misses a longer field goal. Well, that's a stop. That's a don't break. You bent. They got close, but you didn't break. You came up when you needed to make a play. I'm not sure they have that ability now, and I'm sure we'll get into it because we have a great host who always maps everything out. But today there's going to be a look at the front, you know, with Chandler Jones out. Jermaine Cunningham out. The edge of your defense is now far more susceptible. And how do they adjust to that? Are we going to see more 3-4? Are we going to see guys step up? How do we go in that direction? But that's a concern today, and that's a concern over that bend but don't break because the edge right. of your defense is key.
Sounded like a key to the game. Well, we'll get to those coming up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and our buddy Fat Tony here on Patriots.com.
You slimming down?
No.
Oh.
Thanks for asking.
Are you?
But
no.
I
will say,
I love those definitive
certainly not
notes.
Eating chicken sandwiches at 10 a.m.
At 10:30 in the morning. I will say this. You have no business of being known as Fat Tony at the size you
Paul,
are.
Slender Tony.
I can't take this anymore. I have to leave.
No, I mean, I don't think...
I come here to get abused, and you guys are just not fulfilling your obligations.
I don't look at you as a guy...
My wife said you're going back down there again?
I think the note cards threw us all off. I think that's what it is for me.
Well,
Prepare, Tony.
Respect.
Yeah.
It's respect.
Yeah.
Maybe utter respect.
Maybe somewhere in the note cards, Tony, you have this one. But
I haven't prepared for a radio spot like this since the first time I went on Ted Sarandis.
Looking at the
Nobody appreciates college sports around this town. BC just won last night hockey, and nobody's talking about it. Why not? Teddy Sarandis.
No Where cares. Are all the college basketball fans?
Women's college basketball, the greatest sport ever.
Hey, great take.
Teddy.
Stay in the breaks. You'll get some.
I'm not going to talk to a jerk
nice
like you.
Northeastern basketball hoops. You'll get some nice talk there.
You know that Adam Jones is the voice of the Northeastern Huskies, right?
Really?
It's very.
Yeah. No Huskies could talk.
It's a job I had to fight for tooth and nail. When you look at the rest of the AFC,
hey, boss,
the rest of the conference,
loser.
And where the Patriots slot in at
8-3, yeah, 8-3, yes.
Houston 10-1, Baltimore 9-2, Denver 8-3. Who do you view as the biggest threat?
I think it's Houston. I still think it's Houston until they fail. I know they've had tight games, and I know they've underperformed. And if you spread them out, you can take advantage of them. I still think they're the best all-around team in football. I think they can make plays up front, which scares me. You know, J.J. Watt is a playmaker. He can dominate the line of scrimmage. I think they roll some other guys out there who are competitive and good. I think they can run the football. I think they can throw the football. And that's scary if you're a Patriots defense because what are you going to shut down? Are you going to shut down Andre Johnson, who had 461 yards receiving in the last 2 weeks? Are you going to shut down Arian Foster, who is a 100-yard machine? How are you going to shut that down? Where do you focus? And if you focus there, does a guy like Owen Daniels kill you in the middle of the field? So I think the balance of the Texans on both sides of the ball is it makes them the threat.
Yeah, I definitely respect Houston. I think they're a terrific team. I think they are probably the most balanced team of those AFC teams. I think balance in terms of they can run and throw on offense, and they can also play defense, so it's balance in all areas. However, I think right now I fear Denver a little bit more, and it's, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think experience is a big factor, and I don't think Houston has been in this spot where they've been the big dog, and you know, I'll be curious to see how they respond to it. Like I said, I really respect that team, and they showed me last year with a third
going
string.
Going with the Mike Felger. You can't win until you've won argument.
With, mm-hmm. No. I didn't say they can't win. I really respect Houston.
Everybody hates Houston because what's Gary Kubiak? And no. What's, they've never been there before. You always have to have your first.
Paul's got a valid point.
I'm talking about this in terms of the biggest threat to the Patriots. And I think in order to beat the Patriots, I think you've got to get up in the 30s. And I think Peyton Manning has a better chance to get up in the 30s than Matt Schaub.
That's right.
And that's it.
We'll see.
That's my only reasoning. It's not if for whatever reason Houston can go through the playoffs without having to see New England, I think Houston's just Super Bowl champ. Or AFC champ, I should say. We'll wait and see what the matchup is in the Super Bowl when they get there. I think Houston is a better team than Denver. But I think matchup-wise for the Patriots, I fear Denver a little bit more because I fear Manning can put those points on the board. And he's been in big games, and he's lost some big games too. I'm not ignoring his postseason failures. He's won some and he's lost some. But Matt Schaub has not been there, and I don't look at him as a guy that can get in a shootout with Brady and win 38-35. Now, to their credit, they've done that the last two games they've played. They've won games in the 30s, 37-34, 37-31 and 34-31 the last two games. So Schaub has done something the last couple of weeks. But I just look at that Denver team as being the more dangerous one right now for the Patriots, specifically for the Patriots.
I don't want to do Adam's job for him, but I'm going to put a call out right now on Twitter. Obviously, we're very interactive. Mm-hmm. Hashtag PPGS on Twitter, webradiopatriots.com. I know there's a lot of Patriots fans down in Miami enjoying mm-hmm. this game, and we want to see some tailgating. We've already gotten a few photos. I know one of our good buddies, VIP Strippers, is down there, but we've got some other photos coming in. Billy D'Asulio sent one from tailgating in Miami, and I want to see as many photos as possible from the orange lot, I think they call it down there. And even if they're Dolphins fans, sneak a few photos of some, tatas in the South Beach sun.
Using the hashtag PPGS, you can also send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Want to get to the phones momentarily, but first, let's head all the way over to the poll center and Matt LePan.
Hello, hello, hello.
Can you hear me over there?
Yeah, we got you. Can you hear me? We got you in the poll center, yes.
Tony, don't ruin it.
So we're starting off with a pretty easy one, but it's been a question on the minds of Patriots fans all week. Is this game a trap game for the Patriots?
I'll let you know after the game.
No.
What do you got, Tony? You upset at this question?
No, I think...
Why you sigh? Why
no,
deep sigh?
No, you know why? Because I think Miami plays them tough no matter what. I haven't slept, but I think Miami plays them tough no matter what.
So does that eliminate the trap because they've fallen into the trap so many times before?
No.
I mean, like the number... 41-5 in December since 2001. Three of the five losses are at Miami. You know, so does the fact that you've fallen victim to them remove the trap idea? Because how could you be trapped by something that's trapped you before? That's like the bear walking into the same damn bear trap three days in a row.
Bears are dumb. I mean, it's...
okay. Something I did not know.
I just think it's the whole thing, you know, catch a, you know, they just go down there mentally. They may be prepared, but I don't think that, I think Miami comes up for them. You know, they play up to them.
Sure. And we saw it. I mean, Sean Smith already tweeted, you know, they made the mistake, took a wrong turn to Miami. They got to pay for it, basically. Fins up, hashtag. And Kevin Falk, I was listening coming in on WEEI, said, you know, this isn't a trap game. The teams know each other too well. You know, there's too much history here. And with Bill Belichick, you know, a trap game, he didn't say it, but a trap game is Cleveland, where you don't know them quite as well. You don't play them. You know, there's no rivalry. Add in the fact that it's a hat and T-shirt day. And, you know, I don't think too many people believe this is going to be a trap game. I just, whether you want to term it trap or not, I think there are reasons to believe it could be a struggle. And I don't know whether that means trap or not trap, but I think you could sell yourself on why it could be a struggle.
And I know Andy, you know, kind of made a joke, I'll let you know after the game. But in all honesty,
if they lose 29-28 and Brady throws a key pick or something, you know, I'll say, that's not how it was supposed to play out.
They could lose the game. They could lose the game, and you might not necessarily say it was a trap game.
Right.
But
trap game is you come out.
You know it when you see it.
That Cleveland
flat.
Game
that Cleveland
was the
game
ultimate
was
trap
the epitome
game.
Of it. They were just pushed around from start to finish. You know,
Cleveland's running all those weird plays behind the line
and
stuff
just,
with
they
Dable
weren't ready to play that day.
Catches that weren't fair catches. And
you can see it. You know it. You know, that game.
Yeah,
but
you only know it after
so,
you see
so you
it.
Don't
that's
it.
What I'm saying. And that's why I was like, yeah, I know you were making a joke about it, but I don't think it's a trap game because I think there's something to be had. I think a trap game is kind of when the game doesn't really matter to you and you're looking at bigger and better things. The game matters to the Patriots. They can win the division
this division.
Week. And it's a road game. Right. I'd be more willing to call it a trap game if it were here.
Home.
You know, and you
but
just kind of roll out of
I mean,
bed.
You can win the division, but you're not going to lose anything if you lose.
I know. Well, that's the rest of the season.
I mean, you play in a crappy division where a 5-6 team is behind you. I mean,
in reality, the Houston and San Francisco games don't matter.
No, but in their psyche, they matter.
Quickly. They might.
There's no psyche issue here. You'd be embarrassed if you lost this game, but beyond that, you come back next week, you beat Houston, and everybody says, woo, you're the best team again.
But, I mean, it depends what you think of those buys, too. I mean, is that something that's really important to you? Because if you lose today, that really throws a monkey wrench into your ability to get a bye.
I think what Paul hit on, and I don't know this off the top of my head. You guys would know better than I would. How do they generally fare in these games, these hat and T-shirt games? Because off the top of my head, it seems like they fare pretty well in them.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers.
I can't imagine there's been too many of these that they've lost.
Correct.
I mean, is there Andy and I always joke. You know,
all their stats are good.
On turf, indoors, yes, at night, outside, coming off a bye.
When you go 13-3 every year, there's not too many numbers that don't go your way.
You tell me
that's
the number.
I think it's notable that the Miami, three losses in Miami in the month of December when you don't lose in the month of December.
Tom Brady is 0-3 in Miami in December. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine there are a lot of numbers.
You don't have that in your little notes over there?
You didn't have that in your cards?
Yes, I do, actually.
I just can't imagine that there are a lot of numbers.
And by the way, in those
Brady
games,
Belichick.
1-0, 10 picks. 3 games, 10 picks. 2 really? 4-pick outings.
Really?
Wow, Fat Tony's like, we're going to lose. He's like, he's got this face of like,
I wasn't when I
like I just ruined Christmas for him.
I didn't have any of these on my index cards.
Let's
says we're good, plus 4, plus 24 with turnovers and in returns. Miami stinks and they turn the ball over.
You get so scientific.
let's get the view from Vegas as we open up the phones. 508-298-0398.
God,
kick things
I'm
off with our buddy Jeff in Vegas. What's going on this week, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Well, I would make Eric win a cape proud with hyperbole. They seem to either love it or hate the exaggerated Boston accent, although you get a few high flyers, like in real life, often.
Hey, stick with your shtick. You know, it's you. It's what you've built. And if people, if half the people love it and half the people hate it, then you're doing it right.
Agreed.
Jeff, we love you.
That was Fat Tony. He says he loves you.
Yeah, Jeff,
Fat
we do
Tony
love you.
Well, Fat Tony is friggin' hilarious and, you know, adds a great deal. Every time, I think I've heard him call in a few times, and having him in studio
he's
is
the best.
A real treat. If you
way
will.
Better than Eric Scalavino's ever dreamed
that's
of
right.
being.
Let him keep going. Let him keep going.
All right, so what's where's the action going today? What's the buzz in Vegas?
Well, buzz in Vegas has stayed rock solid. New England minus 7.5. Total is inched up to 51, which today I think I'm going to bet the house on the under, and I'm sticking with it.
And that's worked for you, Jeff.
That's really worked out well for you.
So how many houses is this you've lost now?
We are 8-3 on the side. So the side, of course, is what really matters. I saw strippers on the PPGS. I think he's drinking like wine coolers or Zimas down there.
I believe it was a Smirnoff Ice. And I've dabbled with those in the past. They're very good, thank you very much. And before 12 a.m., they're certainly yummy.
HMO.
I mean.
Yes, I can. I could see Andy, you guzzling those down.
I think. Whoa!
What do you mean by that?
It's kind of gay.
I don't know.
Thank you, Kevin.
Aren't you like Pete Carroll? You like your for like cheese, you like your brie cheese and your wine. You're like the wine and cheese kind of guy.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Screw you. Ask your mother.
And Andy Hart has arrived.
All right. So where are we going here today? What do we got?
Before we go there, I think the last patent T-shirt game they lost, by the way, was
the Super Bowl.
The Jason Taylor.
You know they give you hats and T-shirts if you win the Super Bowl. So there's at least two hat and T-shirt games.
Was,
I can tell you they didn't fare
rough,
very well.
That was a rough hat and T-shirt game. You're right. Good call.
The Tom Brady at Miami ill-advised pick by Jason Taylor on Monday night that put them to the season. They went 14-2.
Yep.
They lost that game week 12 or 13 at Miami. I believe that was a hat and T-shirt game. I think that was 2004.
They must have had the division wrapped up by then.
No? I can't imagine they didn't.
Jason Taylor.
No, I know the game you're talking about. I just can't imagine that 13-2 or 12-2, whatever they were, that the division wasn't wrapped up. 12-1.
I remember
actually.
Al Michaels saying, "Now everything changes because there were other teams close to them." I don't know if those are your hands.
You know what
City
it was? It was the year that Pittsburgh went 15-1. So maybe it was for home field advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't give you hats for home field advantage.
No,
it might have been for home field.
Give you hats for Super Bowls. They're 0-2 in those regions.
Okay, well, in any case, that brings us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers.
How they doing? How those girls doing?
They're doing fantastically well. There have been a lot of changes to the show. It's actually really hard to make money in a
I bet it's hard.
changes.
Kevin's working.
But that the condensation keeps everything moist.
Yes.
And,
nothing like hard and moist. All right, that's uncomfortable.
And one more quick homage to Ted Sarandis. I apologize 1,000 times if we don't hit both sides on this one.
I apologize 1,000 times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees.
He was great. He was great.
Smoke.
He's not dead, you know.
Oh, he was great, though.
Hands and knees. That conjures back Eric Scalzi.
All right, just make your pick.
Okay. I don't like this game at all. I'm going to take New England to cover the 7.5, but you know how it goes down there. Historically, you know, the Orange Bowl has given us trouble. Andy Hodge, Brady stats, 14-5, three of which are losses in December. I got to dabble on the money line, guys, a little bit with 30 basis points, one-third of a unit, plus 320. You're getting 3-1 if Miami wins outright. Now, I hope New England will blow them away. I'm going under the 51. So a fraction of a unit on Miami money line, but we're taking the Patriots to win big.
You're losing another over-under.
Lock it in.
So you're sticking with that
lock
under.
Lock it in.
All right.
See you later.
See ya. See ya, Jeff.
Like it, Jeff. Even a couple of those, even at least one of those losses was like 30-something of a unit. What do you say? Something
I don't know.
I don't have any idea what that means. But one of those was like 29, 28, right?
Correct.
So that's an over if you're just looking at the over-unders.
Yeah.
I think they're scoring 49 and 59 the last couple of weeks. I would take the over. And
plus, if you're taking the under, I think you got to take Miami.
I think they cover the 7.5.
See, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
if they cover the 7.5, I think you got to
take the over. Do you think there's any chance this is a low-scoring Dolphins win? Or like, I mean,
any chance?
Don't tell you that.
No.
That means you're going to say there's
no.
Oh, okay.
No, I know.
There's a tenth of the hurricane, and that could keep
going
down.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, I button hooked you there.
Any given Sunday, Andy. Any given
Sunday. No, I button hooked you there, but no, I agree with you. No, I don't think there's any chance. If Miami wins, that's how it's going to be. But I don't.
Right.
I can't see the if you're taking the Patriots and you're giving 7.5, I can't see how Miami's scoring enough points, not scoring enough points to keep it under 51. 51's not that high. I mean, it's a high total in the NFL, but it's not.
Not for this team.
Not
the way they've
been scoring. It's not extraordinary.
I think the over is a no-brainer.
Jeff Howell, by the way, passes along something. I just retweeted it for PPGS. Just about Vollmer, said he thought he looked okay in his pre-game workout, but he did witness him take his helmet off in frustration as he walked toward the locker room with his head down, and he said later that he was with Dante Scarnecchia and Jim Whalen, the head trainer, after an extended meeting. So he says, take that for what you will, not making any determinations, but maybe Vollmer in is not a lock at this point.
Well,
so, nine!
Inactives are about 13 minutes away here.
About
we're leading up to a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff time between the Patriots and the Dolphins in Miami. We'll continue with your feedback, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We've been talking about the Patriots, the view from here. We'll get the view from Miami coming up next. You're on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots pregame social.
You believe him? You believe Dante Hightower? He gets ready for every game by listening to Andy Hart and Paparella.
Not only does he get our keys
Adam
to
Jones
the game,
and Fat Tony, he left us
I'm
out.
I'm take
Fat
it a step
Tony.
Further. I think after the Alabama win over Georgia last night, he started his preparation.
That's true.
He started his preparation for the PPGS.
Roll Tide.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. That Hightower left out me and Fat Tony. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're taking you up to Patriots and Dolphins. 1 o'clock Eastern kick. We've been giving you the view from New England. Let's get the view from Miami.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
To do that, we welcome Ben Volen in from the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And Ben, one of the narratives here in New England about this game and the view from some is that it's a trap game for the Patriots. How's this game being viewed in Miami?
Well, it's kind of being viewed as the game of the year around here because the Dolphins, believe it or not, even at 5-6, they still have a pretty decent chance at the playoffs right now. They're only one game behind Pittsburgh and Cincinnati for that sixth spot. And they already have a win over Cincinnati head-to-head this year. So a win would do wonders for the playoff hopes and obviously for the excitement and enthusiasm around the team. But I just don't think this is going to be much of a trap game for the Patriots. I don't know if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are ever going to have a trap game against the Dolphins. They take this team very seriously, and they've absolutely owned them over the last 2 years. They've won four in a row and six of seven since that Wildcat game. And, you know, the Patriots are just firing all cylinders, obviously, right now, offense, defense, special teams even. And the Dolphins, I just don't know if they're going to have the firepower to keep up with Tom Brady and the offense today. So, you know, Reggie Bush said it last week. We've got a monster coming in today. I mean, there's no tougher test for this team, the Dolphins, than the Patriots right now. And I don't expect the Patriots to take them lightly. I expect them to come out today and take care of business.
Ben, even if the Patriots were going to take them lightly, I think Sean Smith tried to make sure that didn't happen with a tweet today, sort of egging on the monster. Just take us into the mentality of that player and what he may have been thinking with that tweet this morning that has seemed to rile up some Patriots fans.
Well, I'm going to have to feign ignorance on this one. I didn't see it. Can you guys fill me in real quick?
To paraphrase, I don't have the exact in front of me. He said the Patriots took a wrong turn and ended up in Miami, and basically
they're going to have to make them pay for it.
Hashtag fins up, and that was from Sean Smith.
Okay, well,
nothing too bad.
Nothing terrible, but we know how sensitive Tom Brady and Bill Belichick can be, and if you poke them a little bit, sometimes they try to make you pay for it. Is he susceptible to being taught a lesson, I guess, by this passing offense today?
Sure. You know, so Sean Smith, he's had a real up-and-down season. It's his fourth year in the NFL now. This was a late second-round pick, real rangy cornerback. He's a lot like the Seahawks cornerback, 6'3", can play physical at times, great length and great speed to keep up with receivers, but he makes assignment errors. He's still kind of a young player. He gets burned over the top sometimes, gives us some touchdowns. So, yeah, I could see the Patriots certainly picking on him. But I could see the Patriots really picking on their nickel corner, Jimmy Wilson, a second-year guy who was really supposed to be a special teams player this year until the Dolphins lost Richard Marshall to a season-ending back injury. So that kind of forced Jimmy Wilson and this other guy, Nolan Carroll, into the lineup. And, you know, they're okay players at times, but I think the Patriots are really going to be able to take advantage of those two, especially with the extra time the Patriots have had to prepare for this game. So I could see, I guess, why Patriots fans are ticked off about what Sean Smith said. But that's kind of been the theme from the Dolphins this week, too. Ryan Tannehill also said, I mean, they're not kissing the Patriots' rings. They're not bowing down to them. It's kind of just another opponent, another team that they have to beat. The Patriots are susceptible, especially, I think, in their secondary on the defensive side of the ball. So the Dolphins aren't trying to make this game more than it needs to be. They respect the Patriots as an opponent, I think, but they're trying to pull off the big upset and shock the world today, and I guess that's what Sean Smith is kind of alluding to.
Ben, we've seen the stats on defense, and obviously what you're talking about with the struggles that they've had in the secondary. The run stopping has been pretty good. I wanted to talk about Cameron Wake specifically. Andy Hart and I have been talking about this all morning. He would seem to be the one guy, pass defense-wise, that could impact the game. How do they use Wake? And do they put him on one side? Do they move him around? The possibility the Patriots might be without one of their starting tackles today, Sebastian Vollmer. He did not play last week against the Jets. Where do they use Wake, and how do they get him after the quarterback?
Sure. Well, they switched to a 4-3 scheme this year, which means Cameron Wake, who used to play an outside linebacker, he's now putting his hand in the dirt a lot more. And instead of lining him up over the left tackle, which is oftentimes the best offensive lineman, they've been lining him up over the right tackle for much of the season. They do move him around, of course, but that's generally where he's been, up against the right tackle. He's more comfortable coming in off that side of the ball. And the right tackle is generally a weaker pass blocker than the left tackle. So I think it's been a pretty smart move by the Dolphins. Opposing offenses that have started to counter a little bit. Wake only has one sack in his last three games. He had a five-game stretch where he had 8.5. He had 4.5 against the Cardinals, although everyone kind of gets sacks against the Cardinals. But Wake, he's really having a phenomenal year, but he doesn't have much help opposite him, whether it's from the tackles, Paul Solei and Randy Starks, or the other defensive ends, Jared Odrick, and Olivier Vernon, the rookie. They just haven't been able to get a consistent pass rush. Obviously, Cameron Wake, so he's getting double teamed all the time. He's been getting held a lot this year that hasn't been called. And I think if you remember last year, too, Nate Solder, as a rookie, did a pretty good job of neutralizing Cameron Wake.
Yep.
Wake's a little undersized. He's like 6'3". And going up against, if Vollmer plays especially, too, the Patriots have two tackles that are 6'8". That's a big disadvantage that Wake's going to be at in terms of arm length and reach. You know, imagine a boxing match where you have one guy who's 5 inches taller than the other guy. It's just a big disadvantage for Wake. So I think it's going to be a struggle for him today. And those guys that I mentioned, Randy Starks, Olivier Vernon, Jared Odrick, they're going to have to be the ones who come up with some sacks and get pressure on Tom Brady.
Ben, obviously when you look at the Patriots' pass defense, there's some deficiencies in the secondary, but the run defense has actually been a little bit leaky over the last few weeks, even though New England's been blowing people out. Is Reggie Bush capable, and I know he had 100 yards against this defense last year, is he capable, you think, of doing enough to keep that Miami offense competitive, allowing them to be balanced and then maybe play action to take advantage of the issues in the secondary?
Well certainly he's going to have to. And it's not just him. It's really the running game in general, because the Dolphins' backfield has really turned into a platoon over the second half of the season. Daniel Thomas, the second-year guy out of Kansas State, is actually, up until last week, had been getting more snaps than Reggie Bush every game. Daniel Thomas is 30 pounds heavier. He's a much more bruising, physical kind of running back, both as a runner and in pass protection. So the Dolphins have been playing a lot of slugfest this year, and I expect today's game against New England to be no different. And Daniel Thomas has actually been a big part of the offense. Reggie Bush did have 89 yards last week, and he's had some electrifying touchdown runs. But Thomas is the more consistent between-the-tackle runner. So I expect to see a lot of him today. And for the Dolphins to have any chance, they've got to be able to run the ball. Last week against Seattle, they had 189 yards rushing, and that was their first time over 100 yards as a team since week three. So the running game has really struggled this year. But for them to have any chance, they've got to be able to control the clock, pick up some third down, and really just control the ball, stay on the field, grind the clock down with the running game with both Reggie Bush and Daniel Thomas.
All right, we'll leave it there. He's Ben Volen, Dolphins beat writer for the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, and as we leave Ben here, leading up to the Patriots and Dolphins, 1 o'clock Eastern time kick, we do have the inactives out. And no real surprises on that list outside of Mankins, Gronkowski, and Chandler Jones. They were already ruled out. Mitch Petras, Vasante Schenko, James Devlin, Derek Martin. Those are your inactives.
Yeah, the only one that's a surprise for me is the Schenko guy, who I keep saying, they brought him back from IR for some reason, and maybe it's to fill in for Gronkowski, and he's done nothing.
So Paul's boy Howe whiffs again.
Why did Howe whiff?
Yeah, no, he didn't, because everybody else is saying the same stuff. During the workout,
stuff, yeah.
During a workout, Comcast said that he was blocking Jake Beck at Vollmer and reached for his back, took his helmet off. That was it. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start in this game and he's active only as an emergency.
Even play.
That's what I'm saying. He's active only as an emergency
guy. Who did they do that? Was it Connolly earlier this year who they had active but didn't play?
Didn't play. Right. Yeah.
So that bears watching. He is at least active.
Certainly bears watching if Ben is right and they use Cameron Wake still
primarily if it was one guy, you know, noticing these things and no one else was commenting on it, then I would say the one guy must have saw something that didn't exist. But there's been a flurry of tweets about Vollmer's pregame workout today. That's something clearly to keep an eye on.
I have no faith in Marcus Cannon against Cameron Wake.
I agree with Andy about Schenko. I'm a little surprised by that. But not that it's in the grand scheme of things all that important. Derek Martin has been here for like 3 weeks and seems like he's making three special teams tackles every game. So I'm a little surprised that he's one of the guys that's not active.
That means Marquise Cole is up after being down last week, right? Special teams wise, I would assume that would be the case.
Cole offers a little bit more on defense if you felt like you needed that.
Is Schenko being inactive a vote of confidence for Hernandez as an independent of that?
Yeah, I don't think it's tied together really with the fouls and who man and all that. James Devlin, inactive, poor guy.
No, so the three we knew are the ones that we're already...
He's at his fingertips.
We're already ruled out with Gronkowski.
The biggest issue is, regardless of Vollmer being active, is he going to play? Is he going to start? And does Marcus Cannon have to match up against Wake? Because I don't think that's a good matchup.
Our first inclination with the inactives, he's going to give it a go. We will see here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, alongside Adam Jones, our buddy Fat Tony, riding shotgun here. We do want to get into the phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And as we like to do during each and every pregame show, let's check in with one of our fan clubs.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh, man, they're planning one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
All right, we have Shauna dialing us up from our Pats fans on Maui. Shauna, how's the atmosphere leading up to the game?
Hey, aloha.
Aloha. Mahala.
It's pretty early here. It's a little after 6:30, so...
Seven.
The bar's not open yet.
Yeah, the bar's not open yet.
Oh, come on.
Dunkin' Donuts coffee here either.
You got it spiked?
We don't have any.
On the radio, Shauna.
but no, we're really stoked about the game today. We don't see the Pats having any trouble beating Miami, so we're all up for it.
Now, I understand you guys are a relatively new fan club on Maui.
Yep, we started in October, and we are the first one in Hawaii, so I guess we're a landmark now.
Nice. And what do you got for membership, and how's it growing?
We have 12. We have a couple in Michigan. We got one on Oahu, a lot of folks from Boston, and the rest of us live right here on Maui.
And do you guys generally get to, you're waiting at the bar? Are you literally waiting at the door of the bar?
do you knock on the door and say, hello, can
Sounds
we come
like
in?
Southie.
The owner let us inside. We're at Valley's Pub and Cafe in Kahana on the west side.
Yeah,
of Valley.
No sense of leaving you out in the cold. You got to get inside and stay warm.
Right.
You're
not drinking?
It's about 72 out there this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cold.
Sons of
it's about 42 in Gillette.
Although it's actually unseasonably warm here.
Yeah.
So how did you – are you from New England or –
She's a native.
No, I'm from Michigan. I started watching Tom when he was playing for University of Michigan in 1995.
Oh, interesting.
Nice.
Okay.
So I followed him to the Pats, yeah. So I never was a big Lions fan, but, you know.
I can see why.
I got a good team. Yeah, me too, right?
And you don't have anybody to root for on Hawaii. There's no team there.
No, no teams. Just the University of Hawaii, college football.
Right. Yeah. So what's now? Are you guys normal tailgaters? You just go with wings and stuff, or is there a Hawaiian feel to things?
No, Dolly's is just it's like a local pub. They serve a really nice breakfast buffet, you know, sausage, biscuits, gravy, potatoes, that kind of thing on football Sunday.
Nice.
And $5 Mai Tai, you know.
Can't beat that. 6:30
in the morning.
At 6:30 in the morning.
God love you.
My kind of girl.
God love you.
Pace yourself. Long day ahead of you. Long day.
Yeah, it makes a long day.
Yeah, what do you do? Like, the game's over, and it's like 10 o'clock. What do you do? What do you do the rest of the day?
11 o'clock, we watch the next game. We just don't root, that's all.
There's always another game.
And we go surfing.
Yeah, we go surfing, yep.
And have a
hit
hula.
The ocean, get a little sun on the beach.
We put on our,
like everybody in the background, just looking loud.
Put on your coconut bra and have a hula?
Here's where Andy gets everybody uncomfortable.
Idea. Do you have a coconut bra? Yeah,
did you send a picture of yourself in a coconut bra?
We've got one in your size waiting for you.
I like large coconut bras.
Is that the size you need?
Unfortunately, I do think my breasts are growing. All right, guys. Well,
Andy's killing it in Waikiki.
Enjoy the game today, and tell him to crack open everything. Let's go. 6:30, but it's 12 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly.
All right, enjoy the game. Don't forget that coconut photo.
All right, so that's
Aloha.
The first Patriots fan club in Maui. I love it. That's great.
We also have...
I wonder if they could have sung that. I like that Christmas song they have. What is it?
Melakaliki
Maka.
Yeah, Melakaliki Maka.
I like
is that.
Is that
a player on the Patriots?
Is that not on the cards in your cards?
What is it?
Oh, on cards?
We haven't mentioned the cards in like 20 minutes.
Can we get into the cards?
We got another fan club.
What is 10 interceptions in December?
Well, we got a fan club right here, too.
Well, I know. We're lining them right up. Let's go to Isaac. He's Pat's Fans Club of Mexico. What's going on, Isaac?
Hi, how are you?
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿ustedes?
Bien.
Bien.
Que bueno.
No say.
Yeah. We're here at Sunrise Stadium.
Oh, you're at the game today.
Yeah, I'm at the game. It's my first game of the Patriots.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, now, I'm here with my family. They're Dolphin fans. They live here in Miami.
Oh, see.
That's awesome.
It's great to be here.
Now, are there a lot? I'm imagining you're seeing a lot of Patriots fans around the parking lot and coming to the game today.
Yeah, a lot of Patriots fans. I'm here at the tailgate right now, and there's a lot of Patriots fans.
Now, how do you twist that? What's the Mexican twist on a tailgate party?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
What's the Mexican quote unquote twist on tailgating? What are you guys eating today? How do you get ready for a big partido?
Oh, we're here eating chicken wings and meat. You know, it's like American tailgate.
Oh yeah, and cervezas.
Yeah, also beers, some beers.
Sí,
yeah.
mucho.
Yeah, I think we talked last year on the pregame against the Redskins. I was at my home in Mexico City.
Yes.
Right now I came here on Friday. So I think it's going to be great.
Awesome.
Now, how many people in Mexico root for the Patriots? Because we always talk about, as the NFL is trying to expand globally, this whole thing with London and England. And some people say, well, why aren't we considering Mexico City? You know, there might be a hotbed of NFL fans there. What kind of a fan base do the Patriots and do the NFL in general have in Mexico City?
Well, we started a year and a half ago on Twitter with a Twitter account. It's called Patriots Mexico.
See.
And we started from the beginnings. We tell them some news on a blog. We have some Instagram pics, and we have been growing. Right now we have 3,500 fans, followers.
Nice.
In a Twitter account. It's really big. I think it's growing, and it's good because of all the Twitter team accounts in Mexico, no one's bigger than us. I think Dallas Cowboys have 1.5. We are 3.5. So we're getting bigger.
Well, good job. And now I have a random question for you. You may or may not be aware, the Patriots have a Spanish portion of the website. Our friend Martin does a good job with that. Do you read that? Do you read Patriots news in Spanish, or do you stick to the English version of most stuff?
No, we speak in Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, see. Okay, that's good to know, because I know Martin works very
not,
hard.
You speak English. I wouldn't.
I mean, your English is good enough, so I assume if you wanted, you could read Eric. But the good news is, if you read Martin, you probably get more information than reading Eric.
We read some blogs, news from ESPN, from Boston Herald, news, and we translate them to Spanish. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, enjoy the game today, and send some photos in of your Mexican tailgating in South Beach.
Yeah, right.
Okay. See you. Que bueno.
Thank you, Isaac. Isaac calling us Pats fans of Mexico. Dialing us up.
Mexico.
Hawaii. Maui.
We're just globetrotting.
South Boston.
Anybody?
Where'd you say you're going? Fat Tony?
I'm going to the Commonwealth Restaurant and Lounge, 79 Parking Way, Quincy, Mass. Today for a Patriots viewing party.
We have a designer for Patriots Football Weekly who's a Quincy girl.
Really?
Very
Quincy native.
Diehard Quincy girl.
Really?
Yes. She doesn't live there now, but
she got out. She's a diehard.
No, but when I badmouth, she got married. When I badmouth Quincy, she defends it.
Okay, she does. She gets mad at us for badmouthing.
So while we're on the fan club, remind us again about your fan club as well.
Well, we're the Water Buffalo Tailgating Club.
Reaching for the cards.
Is that the stuff that you needed?
I think we just swore on here.
I want to get to the cards. It's like the ultimate tease.
If all of the listening audience could understand what abuse I take in this studio, they would really, please.
Hey, call we didn't make you come. No. You enjoy our company. Come back.
Call in, send Twitter stuff. I don't know how that works, but.
Hashtag TPGS.
Okay. Tell them that you'd stop abusing me. But we are the Water Buffalo Tailgating Club, and I wanted to come in today, and you guys have been very gracious in letting me do that. We are having a Toys for Tots event on December 8th at the Commonwealth Restaurant and Lounge at 79 Parking Way, Quincy, Mass. There's a lot of off-street parking for you suburban people who don't like to come into the urban areas, Quincy Center.
That'd be me.
I was going to invite you guys, but this is just terrible today. Terrible. I don't want my friends to know that I know you all.
I'd be there if I could, because you know that I'm not afraid of the city. I grew up in the city.
That's right. You're a Dorchester guy.
Everett. Okay. Even
it's
worse.
Not the city.
Even worse. It is. Even worse.
Of course it is. You had to sleep with one eye open.
Paul, really?
That's where I grew up.
All right. Proceed. Now, you're collecting toys. When
tailgating with a heart.
December 8th.
Yes. We're collecting toys presently at 7 or 8 locations. We have a network of people that we work with, the post office, Souciats on Quincy Ave in Braintree, and a few other pickup places. So they're getting toys, and what we do is culminate that effort with a big party. Because I like to party, number one, and we like to give back because it makes me feel good when I'm pitching back the cervezas that I can give back to something that is bigger than me. And the Toys for Tots.
Oh, you're fat, Tony. What's bigger than you? Just kidding.
So anyway, Kevin, nice work. So it's December 8th, 6:30 to 10:30. Wristbands are available for sale. All of the money raised will go to charity. The toys will go to the Toys for Tots. We're getting a lot of help from different organizations, getting the word out. You guys are helping out, so we appreciate that. Boston Sports Memorabilia is helping out with a silent auction. They're doing all of that stuff. Yeah, they're bringing 30 items. So if I can get Brian to work that all out so I don't have to work, that would be great. But it's going to be a fun night. It's very reasonable for a charity event. There's food. The Commonwealth gives us the room, and Sean Lee provides all of the food. So we're hoping to get 400 people there. So that would be wonderful.
And how can people get info for it?
Okay, so we can. I memorize this. I don't need the cards.
Just in the mirror, right? Going over it.
All right. So club spec.
Doing a better job than Fred would.
Yes.
Thank you. Water Buffalo. WB Tailgating Club. clubspaces.com is the website.
Say it again.
WB Tailgating Club.
clubspaces.com.
There you go.
That was mean. And
why don't you tweet that out, Matt?
You can go. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andy. You can go on Facebook and check us out. We have a very good Facebook account. And
I believe my picture was on there at one point.
It is.
Somebody printed that and put it on my desk.
Really?
Taking a big bite out of a sausage.
Well, you were really ragging on me about the sausages.
They were phenomenal.
They were good, though,
Your
right?
Chicken was phenomenal, too.
Thank you very much.
That's you can't go with the name
sauce.
Fat Tony and not be able to cook.
No, I mean, the food has been
And run a tailgate. I mean, if you were Fat Tony and ran a tailgate and had terrible food, you'd be terrible.
It doesn't work that way anyway. Yeah.
All right, so one more time, the website, Fat Tony.
So let me do it again. WB Tailgating Club. clubspaces
Com.
And Matt LePan is tweeting that out.
That's right.
If you want to do the Toys for Tots for the Water Buffalo
They're looking for 400
club.
People. Get your ass there.
All right.
Eat, drink, be merry, and help people.
It will be a good night. We're going to have caroling from the UMass choir.
And even if they can't show up, you said they can just drop off a toy at one of the distribution centers?
They can drop off a toy, yeah. And you check out our Facebook account, and it has all of the different people in the network.
Let's go, Quincy. Get it done. As much as I badmouth you people, get it done.
Be sure to do that as much as
before you go to the massage parlor and get the happy ending, drop off a toy.
Be sure to do that. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame show, so we're live here in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Adam Jones, Fat Tony Riding Shotgun here. I promise we'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398, as well as your emails, webradio, Patriots.com. We've been jam-packed thus far, but we will get to those coming up. And right now, it's time for our Bose headphone giveaway, the eighth caller to the contest line at 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line. 508-298-0392 wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout, shouldn't you demand more from your headphones too? Bose, game-changing sound. So again,
yeah,
the eighth caller there will win our free Bose headphones. And we'll start focusing on this kickoff, this game between the Patriots and the Dolphins. 1 o'clock kick in Miami. We'll get the guy's keys next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa et Pochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Second and final hour, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we're leading you up to Patriots and Dolphins, 1 o'clock Eastern kick in Miami. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, our buddy Fat Tony, riding shotgun. You reviewing those notes over there during the break? Shotgun. You had a little time to put those in order and get everything.
He also hasn't slept, you know.
Right. So. I'm getting really, really strong right now.
He's drinking Amp that Matt poured him a cup of because Matt didn't go get the Dunkin' Donuts tonight. Oh,
I was just going to say that.
Without the backwash in it. The Amp without the backwash in it. But while
we're leading you up. I bring you in and you do me like that. Huh?
While we're leading you up.
I was expecting Dunkin' Donuts.
To this Patriots and Dolphins game, we might as well get the guy's keys.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, you heard him. Bill Belichick's excited. What's your key to the game here, Andy?
Well, you heard me touch on it earlier. It's the edge of the defensive front.
A little bit of foreshadowing
there. Yes, yeah. Yes, that was a tease.
That was good.
I think that's the only way the Dolphins win is if they can run the football and balance out the offense. We know they're going to throw it a little bit. They're going to complete some passes. They're going to make some yards. But if Reggie Bush gets the edge too easily, a.k.a. C.J. Spiller, who I think there's some comparison there between those two guys. You know, I know Bush has become more of a traditional back, and they've kind of run him between the tackles at times, and I know Ben Volen was sort of saying, you know, Daniel Thomas is not beating the Patriots. The guy who can beat the Patriots is Reggie Bush on the edges, and also I mix in Tannehill. He's an athletic quarterback. Your pass rush is a concern today with Cunningham and Jones out. How do you get a controlled pass rush on him to keep him in the pocket? Does he make plays with his legs? I think that's the key to this game. If they get adequate play on the edge of the defensive front, they're going to win this football game.
Paul? Yeah, I think you want to keep the turnovers coming. This is, you know, the Patriots are plus 24. Miami, I believe, is minus 10. Tannehill's thrown 12 picks on the season. This is a team that you should be able to take the ball away from. And our buddy Daniel Thomas, who Andy and I both like a lot, coming out of Kansas State 2 years ago, has a tendency to put the ball on the ground. So if they do want to do what Ben Volen talked about and establish him between the tackles, I think he's a candidate to lose one today.
Tannehill's put it on the ground, I think, four or five times
yeah,
as
and
well.
As a rookie quarterback, you know, Tannehill obviously is going to be susceptible to some mistakes, although I do think he has some talent too. I don't think this is going to be a guy, you know, who's going to melt. You know, not in Andrew Luck's category, but you remember Luck made some plays, and he also gave the Patriots, you know, many plays in that game as well. I think you're looking to take the ball away here and capitalize on that advantage you have, which is significant. Plus 24 to minus 10 tells me you should come out of this game at least plus 3 in the turnover department.
Fat Tony, let's get a key.
I think the defense needs to keep attacking. I think they need to stay on these guys all the time. Don't let up at all. Vince Wilfork is unbelievable. You can't even describe how good a player he is. And they're going to have to double team him. And if they can get that blitz going like they kind of started to do lately, I think that they're going to beat Miami pretty easily.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Wilfork, and something Paul and I have talked a little bit about as they work through the Cunningham-Jones loss. Do we see more 3-4 today? If we do,
Does that move Wilfork to end with Love at nose tackle? Is Wilfork one of your 3-4 ends? Is it Dedrick, who could be the other guy? Obviously, you'd have Hightower, and I would assume Ninkovich as your outside linebackers, Spikes and Mayo on the inside. But, you know, he's done that. We've seen Vince, seems like he's played his most end against Miami. You know, they had those,
I noticed that,
the Wildcat, and they were talking, they would get him. I feel like I remember a lot of games where he's played significant end reps against the Dolphins, and I wonder if today is another one of those days. Otherwise,
what would you do? If they go 3-4, what would you do?
Well, that's what I would have. I mean, I would have Wilfork, going, basically on that right defensive end against Jake Long. I'd probably have Dedrick on the other 3-4 defensive end with Love in the middle.
Love in between.
And the linebackers. But I'd also probably be giving Dedrick some reps at, if they stick 4-3, I'd be giving Dedrick some reps at left defensive end there as the Dolphins try to run the football. You're probably not going to get a ton of pass rush out of them, and you would try to sort of, you know, scheme it, you know, passing situations. You'd bring in Trevor Scott or Justin Francis, a better pass rusher. But I think Dedrick, either way, needs to be a portion of this defensive front, and I think you need to get something out of him.
All right, well, I promised we'd get to some emails here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I have not done that yet, so let's start working our way through some of these. Web radio at patriots.com. Peter from Melbourne writes in, Paul, Andy, Pac-Man, I'm going to add Fat Tony to this, happy hat and T-shirt day, one and all. I'll keep this email short since Fred refused to read my last email, but I have a few games for you all.
Nice.
Basically, it's a would-you-rather,
Brooklyn
a
Decker.
Game in which you choose one of two scenarios, that would be more beneficial for the Patriots to beat Miami. Ready? Ridley to get 120 plus yards on the ground, or Lloyd get 100 plus yards through the air?
Ridley.
FT?
He fell asleep.
No, I always find myself trying to play devil's advocate with these guys, but I agree. I think Ridley can run it up on
all right.
Guys.
Brady, 4 sacks, 1 lost fumble, or Tannehill, 350 yards passing?
What was the question again?
I don't understand.
Brady gets sacked 4 times and has a fumble, or Ryan Tannehill throws for 350 passing yards. What's a worse recipe for the Patriots?
A worse Brady recipe.
350 and what?
Brady gets sacked 4 times.
No, how many touchdowns for Tannehill?
Didn't say. Just 350 yards.
The worst recipe, I'll say, is Brady getting beat up.
Yeah, Brady then. Yeah,
so you would rather have Tannehill throw for 350 yards than Brady getting
beat up. Who does
that? Yeah, and that's why, the reason why I answered the way I did in the first one is because I would look at the Lloyd thing wouldn't be so exciting to me, because to me it would be a one-game aberration. Whereas Ridley is a continuation of what has been a strong season and something I think you could potentially rely on as the games get more important. I was going to go the same way with this. But that's, they have allowed 350 yards passing to most guys that they face. So I don't want the one game aberration to be Brady getting beaten up. I don't want that.
All right. Tlaib, 1+ interception, or Ninkovich, 1+ forced fumble?
Tlaib. I'll take the Tlaib interception. I don't think it really matters much.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, do we recover the forced fumble?
I would assume, yes.
Because if we do, then it really doesn't matter.
Playing the role of Fred.
Well,
either way,
if we don't recover the forced fumble, then I'll take the pick. Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Either way, it's a turnover, so that's what you're looking for.
Sure.
Hernandez, 7+ catches, or Welker, 8+ catches?
Hernandez.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Patriots.
Especially for our friends in the Mexican fan
Mexico,
club.
Yes, absolutely.
Patriots, guy of Hispanic blood.
Isaac.
Patriots blow out the Dolphins, but lose Welker for 2 weeks. Or Patriots lose a close game to the Dolphins. I just read them. This is Peter
and
in Melbourne.
Nothing
email.
Happens?
They lose, but nobody gets hurt. Or they blow out the Dolphins, but lose Welker for 2 weeks.
Blow out the Dolphins.
Blow out the Dolphins. So you wouldn't have him, in other words, for Houston and San Francisco.
That's okay.
That's the scenario that Peter presented. We're getting a lot of these as well, and I'll sort of combine them all. Sean is the one email that asks, Brady for MVP. I guess the likelihood that you see him winning it over Peyton Manning, whoever else the candidates may be. We're getting a lot of those.
It's strong. Years.
Strong, absolutely.
He's coming on strong. He's played really well. The one thing I would say is, with as well as he's played, 14-0, 1 sack, and it feels like there's a stinker on the horizon. And I'll say, if he doesn't have a stinker on the horizon in the next month and a half, then he's going to win the MVP. Because if they play as well as he's played of late, and not even run the table, but they split with Houston and San Francisco, but play relatively well and run the rest of the table, I think he's going to win the MVP. I think his numbers are phenomenal. I think the not having a defense, the old Peyton Manning pressure of having to score a lot, I think he should be the MVP. I give Manning credit. I think Manning's very much in the mix, but I would give it to Brady, and I'm probably biased.
Yeah, I probably am too. I think those are the two guys, and I do think Manning's going to get that groundswell of support for coming back, and he deserves to.
But the backstory is a big part of it, right?
Yeah, he deserves to. No. I mean, that's a big part of it.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah,
why?
I do.
I'm judging you on this year.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I think his
year is coming back from the injury.
Right. Yeah, but that doesn't make him an MVP. Well, there's a lot of guys that come back for
his numbers. If we're going to go with that line of thought,
then I think Adrian Peterson's the MVP because he's coming back from an injury, and to me, he is by far the most important player of that team.
So Minnesota.
Yeah, well,
you're not just going to say it's the best quarterback, and usually it's the best quarterback.
I'm not saying that. I think the Broncos are a significantly better team than Minnesota.
Yeah, well,
right, but the Broncos wouldn't be significantly worse than Minnesota without Manning. They were a playoff team last year. You made a change at quarterback that's made you better.
They'd be significant.
The Minnesota Vikings would be 0 and whatever they've played this year without Adrian Peterson.
But if they brought Tebow back and played that schedule, they would not be.
I think they'd be worse, but I think they'd be competitive. I think the Minnesota Vikings without Adrian Peterson are non-competitive.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you want to use
if you're going to tie in
strict,
the injury thing,
yeah,
then
if you
want to
go the strict
MVP
thing and that value thing, I think any of these guys, you took them away from their teams, would be significantly worse. And Adrian Peterson, absolutely, Andy's right. That's a bad football team. Minnesota stinks.
I'd give Peterson comeback player.
They have one great player.
That's how I'd parse them out. Give Peterson comeback player.
Well, I'd give Manning comeback player if you want. And I'll give Brady the MVP.
Yeah, I would lean toward Brady slightly right now. I think he's played better than Manning, but not by a lot. And I think that the rest of the season,
I'll play him head to head if you want to.
Oh, definitely, I'll play him head to head.
Do you think Manning has the weapons that Brady has?
No, but he has some weapons. I think Demaryius Thomas is a pretty good player. They don't have a running back. They don't have. He has a pretty good offensive line, though. I'll say that. And Brady's dealt with some issues with the offensive line, with some injuries and stuff. But no, I don't think that the Broncos have the depth of weapons with Welker and the two tight ends and Lloyd and the running backs and all that. It seems like the Patriots can come at you in waves, but where they both kind of are the same is I don't think either one of them has a very good defense. Denver's defense is better than New England's, but not by a lot.
And I believe it was Andy who said this. It might have been Paul, but might have been Fat Tony for that matter.
Oh, Jesus, but, just say it.
Don't make any good comments.
Might have been one of the three people in this room.
Go ahead, Tony Mass.
But when you're Brady, all you're trying to do is be in the picture at this point. And I think those two games, Texans and Niners, will go a long way to deciding that. Those are nationally televised games. If he lights those defenses up.
Oh, but Manning has games
that would go a long way.
They play Baltimore.
They play Baltimore later in the season, and that's really their only tough game. They had all their tough games early.
Right.
The first 6 weeks, five of them were against.
But it's going to be about how he finishes. Or it should be.
Yeah, but I think he's positioned himself for everyone he sends in that email, and we got a lot of them. He's in the mix right now, which I think is all you can ask.
He's roundly considered one of the top two.
And if the NFL Network did a whole segment on the Patriots offense already. I'm not hearing it, obviously, but I can see what they're talking about, and they're putting these stats up, 37 points a game. Is the Patriots offense so dominant that the Patriots are the most feared team in the league and stuff like that? So that's obviously, that's Brady. You're not talking about the Patriots setting records offensively. They're on pace to break their own record for points scored.
I do think that's funny, though. I don't think he got a ton of like 3 weeks ago or four.
No, it's come on.
And it's funny. He's been good of late, but
it's been
the blowouts
defense
have been the defense.
Plays, yes.
You know, the big numbers
don't look
haven't
that.
Been related,
special
even though
teams,
he's playing very well.
They haven't scored any more points in the last 3 weeks than they were before that.
Offensively.
Right.
Offensively. Yeah. Yeah, but people don't look at that because they don't watch the games and they just see 59.
Mm-hmm. Here's where Paul's just shooting at me.
No, I'm not, but that's not a shot. I mean, how many games do we watch?
Watch the games.
How many games do we watch?
Watch the games. I watch them. I know.
He's up on his high horse. I was watching the All-22 with Gresh,
jackass.
And I got to tell you,
it's the complete opposite, is what I'm saying.
Me, Gresh, Giardi, watching the All-22s with Fat Tony riding shotgun. How about this email on Tom Brady? And this is Tracy writing in to webradio@patriots.com.
I guess you could be a boy.
Brady threw for 517 yards in Miami last year, and the Patriots have won the last four games against the Dolphins. I think he's figured them out.
Sure. It's possible. They're also not as good as they used to be.
No.
Defensively.
No.
I mean,
instead of Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain, it's Sean Smith and Nolan Carroll. I mean, yeah.
Who I believe Ben Volen called a guy.
Some guy, Nolan Carroll.
This guy, Nolan Carroll, out there.
That's really what he's, this guy, like.
And Richard Marshall is out for them, and that's a big loss because at least he's an NFL player.
Sure.
Nolan Carroll is widely considered one of the worst cornerbacks in football.
This guy.
If you watch the games, you would know that.
I will say, the last
Sean
game...
Sean Gruden would call him a grinder. I mean, this guy, Nolan Carroll, he grinds it out.
The last game they played against Miami last year, the Patriots were shut out halfway through the third quarter. So the whole figuring out thing, yeah, he's been better against Miami, but, you know, we don't have to go back that far to see when he really struggled against Miami right here in Foxborough.
Continuing with the emails, Nathan writes into webradio@patriots.com. Guys, I love the 1 p.m. games as they start at 10 a.m. here in Southern California as opposed to 6:30 in the morning in Hawaii. Anyway, you guys break down the key
matchups. Global. Don't feel bad for Hawaii, though. There's worse.
Between the Pats offense and the Dolphins defense, also the Dolphins offense against the Pats defense. Much of the banter going back and forth over this week's show was about if we would pick up Babin and his place on the team. We didn't spend as much time breaking down the Dolphins game. As a matter of fact, I think the only Tannehill talk was Andy talking about motorboating Mrs. Tannehill.
Thanks. Oh, I don't think I ever said that.
Thanks, and I appreciate it.
I would.
I don't remember you saying
I would, and she's hot. A little overrated, but.
So I agree. Not that I could ever, you know, get her.
What exactly
just really...
is a motorboat?
What?
I just think she's a little
she's,
overrated.
She's overrated.
She is. I agree with that. Yeah.
But she's also pretty hot.
She's, like, she's
no right.
You can kind of be both.
She's a pretty girl, but yeah. She's all that.
She's like pretty, Rob Ninkovich.
She's hot.
Like, Rob Ninkovich is really good.
Nice player.
But, I mean, he's not like Julius Peppers.
You'll take him. Nice player.
I thought he was talking about Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah, you're going to motorboat Rob Ninkovich.
I thought he was calling Rob Ninkovich off for a second. Yeah.
Andy.
What? You know, you take away the beard. That's a good-looking guy.
I'm not sure I take away. I like the beard.
Oh my God.
Geez.
He has a good,
nice
thick beard.
Scrappy. Did Kevin say nice little player?
The way the beard
I can't wait to tell him this story.
Don't you think he has one of the better beards you've ever seen?
They're like whole weeks for you on Provincetown every summer. They're whole weeks for you.
What,
you
know, why does it have to be gay? He's got a cool beard.
Go check it out.
Bear and Otter Week.
Have you seen it, Fat Tony?
I said nothing.
You are very confident in your
beard.
Yes. And a lot of these guys that try to grow.
Speaking of beards, is your wife your beard?
See, why don't you get the drum sound effect?
Yeah.
Andy gets
because if
the
Andy had said
effect.
That to me, it would have been the funniest thing that he's ever said.
I have to admit,
he'd be
that
cackling
would be.
Like a hyena.
I have never accused you of being gay.
Rolling in the aisles.
No,
fat, bald, and ugly.
I accuse you all the time.
Wait a minute.
No one would accuse me of that. You, on the other hand,
he's got a nice beard. But we got Ryan Tannehill turns the ball over. That's
bad. He's gonna be a bushy one.
That's that was actual beard talk. Tannehill turns the ball over, picks and fumbles. He'll give you some opportunities.
Yes.
If you get after, but can they get after him a little bit? You know, you could argue there.
Fat Tony's key to the game.
Two of their three best pass rushers are down in Cunningham and Ninkovich. You have Cunningham and Jones.
Yeah.
You have Ninkovich, but he's playing in a different spot now. He may be at linebacker, which changes things from his perspective. I think that's one of the things to just watch is, you know, what the Patriots do. How do they open up on defense? How do they adjust? How do they go? You know, they're going to have trouble with Devon Bess. They always have trouble. He's going to catch 7 balls for 100 yards. Just like Jeremy Curley, you know, they can't cover a slot receiver to save their lives.
Right. I say he gets 3 catches today.
Yeah, I don't. I think
say
he's
they take him
7.
Out.
Well, if they do, then Hartline's going to have a couple big plays.
Because that's
not
what
good
I think
enough.
Is going to happen.
And
or Fasano. Or
I'd rather they.
No, Andy's right.
I'd rather they not allow the bombs and say, okay, we'll give you your 7 for $1.20, and you're not going to beat us.
They're going to complete passes. Andy's right. You know, Bess has been a problem. Hartline is not a guy that is typically going to give you, you know, 8 or 9 catches, but this defense is not capable of shutting people
Aqib
down.
Aqib Talib, which Tony can't say, he could be chasing him down the field. I certainly could see that happening.
Well, he did get beat a few times.
He hasn't played all that well.
No, he hasn't.
No,
he needs to knock the rust off. I feel a little bit like he's Albert Haynesworth. You know, how long does rust take to come off?
Well, he actually is playing.
No, he is. I know. But it's like he was, you know, the first game he was very open. You know, my technique was off. I've been out 4 weeks, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, how long do I give you? Do I give you 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month?
Wouldn't it be
before
like,
I say, you're just getting beat?
Wouldn't it be if he's getting beat by Brian Hartline and Ryan Tannehill? Wouldn't
that
sort of open eyes? Compared to Andrew Luck and some of the Colts receivers, I mean, I think that would be a little differently. Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten beat.
He's at least fast.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton's been good.
T.Y. Hilton is no different.
I think Brian Hartline and T.Y. Hilton are the same guy.
Absolutely.
A speed-based ant guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like we're talking about Calvin Johnson, Andre, you know, and you're not talking about elite receivers with either guy.
I mean, I'll say Andrew Luck is better than Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, that was more what I was saying, but still. And he matched up against Reggie Wayne at points in that game, so it's better receivers that you're going against. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think,
and Reggie Wayne was wide open until Luck threw it right into Talib's chest behind Reggie Wayne.
And this is my point. I think it would be viewed differently if Tannehill and Hartline and Bess are picking him apart, or Hartline in particular are picking him apart. Compared to Andrew
I think he's struggled no matter who he's faced, and he needs to be better if they're going to get the benefit out of that trade going down the stretch that they want to.
Continuing with the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Nick writes in, guys, having a lot of trouble being not extremely confident for this game. I only have one worry. The scenario is middle of the third quarter, Patriots are up. They run something other than a draw play, and then we have Adam Jones complaining about it for 2 hours after the game. Once we get a less, we need to pound it up the middle, and darn it, lead. Oh, wait.
Yeah, but can we...
A lead. Sorry.
Not a less.
Well, he wrote a less. I just
I know, but you could clean it up.
Good job. Good job.
You read anything that's on the proper.
Good job, Fred.
Oh, wait. No, we don't. That's just Adam's thoughts. This is in regards to me.
Were you giving everybody a hard time last week about the...
Edelman thing, yeah.
What I mean, what was wrong with that play?
I just think when you're up 28 points, you don't need to be running reverse plays or end arounds or whatever it was with your wide receiver. That's all. And I think if you do, you can do whatever you want. If you do, I wouldn't be surprised if players are teeing off on you from the secondary. That's all I'm saying.
But see, I don't think
that's a good point.
I don't think it was. I am definitely a proponent of I don't understand what we do when we have a huge lead. But you run a little end around with your fifth wide receiver and he gets hit. And people are like suddenly up in arms about it.
No one cares that you leave Brady.
I don't get
that. 35.
Yeah. Right. Now, if you want to drop back and pass,
no.
I get that. I get that second guess. But I want to take the ball out of the hands of the guys that are, the most important,
and put it
in the hands of the guys who, if they're going to get hit like that, I have four other guys to play.
All I said, and on the postgame show, and I said this about Brady too. If Brady gets hurt in a 5-touchdown game or whatever it was when he was still out there, then the Patriots have that coming for them, right? So that's all I'm saying.
If Ridley went off tackle there and got the same hit and got concussed, would you say the same thing?
No, I would not.
What are you going to do?
It's not a gimmicky offensive play. It was more
an end around is like a gimmicky off. I mean,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, do they run it 25 times a game?
No, but they run it pretty much every game.
Yeah, I thought in that scenario, when you're up by 4 touchdowns.
I mean, the last time they ran it, he ran 47 yards down the sideline.
Yeah, that's part of it to me, too, is the whole Josh McDaniels thing with him before the game where they're trying to get him touchdowns. I don't know. I felt like that's what they were trying to do, and I don't think the Jets liked it. So Landry teed off on him.
That I agree with. Well,
I think
Landry was just doing his job. Yeah. There's a guy running with the ball. Well, he's a massive safety. He's going to try to kill him.
I think that's a tackle. I think that could have happened if it was nothing. And
not everybody hits like Steve Gregory. Yeah. Some of those safeties actually hit people.
It's a fair point. I thought the play was a little gimmicky.
Sorry,
up four touchdowns. That's all.
I see your point a little bit. I just don't think the hit is
and rushing touchdowns and things like that at the end of the games instead of just,
I see your point. I just don't think that, first of all, it was pretty early. It was only the third quarter.
It was one of the first possessions of the third quarter. Yeah. It was the first or second drive of the third quarter.
So I don't have as big a problem with the play as you do, but I definitely adhere to the theory that injuries can happen because the other team is a little irritated, and not that they're looking to hurt somebody, but they're playing harder than they might in that situation. And I think that had happened on the extra point.
With Gronkowski.
I think that's absolutely what happened, is they were, the Patriots did everything they could to continue scoring in that game, and I don't think that the Colts liked it. And, so instead of treating the extra point like an extra point, Sergio Brown was treating it like, I need to block this so we can win the game.
Nick also has an over-under game.
Nice.
Brady, rushing touchdowns, 0.5, over-under.
Over.
Under.
Okay.
Vereen. Have a dramatic spike.
Vereen, receiving touchdowns, this is a big one. Over under 1.5.
Under.
Yeah, it seems like an easy one. Fat Tony?
1.5. I don't understand this. I'll say over. No, I'm being honest.
You think Vereen's going to catch two touchdowns?
Catch two touchdowns.
I think so.
Okay.
There you go.
And you understand it perfectly.
Total yards, 506.5.
You underestimated yourself.
Thank you.
506.5.
What?
Total yards, 506.5. I'm going to go over.
I'll take the under.
0.5, over.
That's how they don't want to push, so you have to pick either over or under.
See, you guys taught me about the push before,
so if it's 506, you lose. If it's 507, you win.
507.
And finally, Miami turnovers, and I think this is a good one. 2.5.
Three.
So there you go. Over for Tony.
You hope the over. If it's not the over, you might have problems.
It's going to be
three. Let's take a phone call here quickly. Chester is in Portland. He dials us up, 508-298-0398. What's up, Chester?
I don't even know her.
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
What's up?
Not too bad.
All right. Well, I'm cautiously optimistic today.
Screw the caution.
Cautiously.
Just be optimistic.
Wait a minute now. I want to hear this.
Guys, we're playing in Miami, I mean, the data doesn't lie, but I'm hoping that we're better than that today. I think the big thing here is watching that Miami pass rush. I'm worried that we got dolphins.
Swimming around the studio.
They're circling. You know, Dolphins can be violent, too. Yeah.
Mm. You know, with these new Bose headphones, just I went for a second Dolphins. There. They're so clear, I thought maybe that was Andy passing gas again.
Now, hey. No.
Oh, you were so nice to Chester.
Sound. There'd be a different sound there, my friend.
Crystal clear, by the way.
Nice. Ooh. Yeah, Bose.
That was a Fred fart right there. Anyway, look, just real quick on the game. I'm worried, you know, with Brady possibly hearing footsteps, if that Miami pass rush, you know, gets a few spikes in this game. I alluded earlier this week about, you know, possibly misdirection being our play of the week and, you know, how we can kind of crack the code there. Are we looking more for quick three-step drops, quick plays, bubble screens? I think Hernandez and Woody are kind of the guys I'll be watching today. But as far as defense goes, I think this is Vince's day to shine, you know, knowing that we've got, you know, some other guys stepping in. If he can get a good surge and get Tannehill on his heels, I think it's going to go well for us. But we got to get up early. You know, looking at the tape from last season, I'm a little worried about a slow start and an Arizona-esque kind of a game here. So love to catch your thoughts. Go Pats. Let's hope for a division win today.
All right, Chester.
That's Chester. I like Chester's phone calls.
Oh, he brings it and gets in and out.
He's all business.
And I think you are more of a get rid of the ball kind of day. The Dolphins are a blitzing team beyond just Wake. I mean, and they have some bodies up front, some big bodies that can rush. They'll send some linebackers, have some athleticism. So I do think you want to get rid of the football. But I think that's kind of his M.O. Brady always wants to get rid of the football. He's not looking to stand back there and pat the ball three times. That's when he starts to get antsy. This is more of a timing-based offense that they want to
stepping up better, too, don't you think?
I think he has been better of late on that, but I think that can go the other way quick. Right. If Cameron Wakes, if Marcus Cannon whiffs a couple times and wakes in his eyesight, Brady will start to get antsy. And I'm not faulting him for it. I mean, I would, too, if a large man was trying to kill me. And that's something to watch. I know we talked about our various keys, but that Marcus Cannon
situation, if he starts, or
Vollmer, if he plays and is somehow stiff and limited and doesn't have his mobility, that is something to watch.
We'll continue with your feedback here. Webradiopatriots.com. Also, your phone calls to 508-298-0398. It's how you get in touch with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. Coming up, we'll head up to the press box, get the feel from Miami, and we'll also do our Sunday six-pack. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Wow!
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, D-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more.
Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors having trouble
getting them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. We've also been joined by our buddy Fat Tony here for the first hour and a half of the program. And Fat Tony, you're gonna hit the bricks here so you can go take this game in.
Yes. I'm going to hit the bricks, go up to the Commonwealth Restaurant and Lounge, 79 Parking Way in Quincy, Mass.
And, there's plenty of parking.
Watch the Patriots defeat the Miami Dolphins for all the reasons these guys said.
That's right.
Beautiful.
And have some fun and bring a toy if you come.
Yes, you can bring a toy today. Yeah, absolutely. But don't forget about the 8th, Toys for Tots, same place.
Help a child in need.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Tailgating with a heart.
That's right.
And Fat Tony was
led by Fat Tony
was helping out our stomachs in need today by bringing in the food.
Very, he's the best.
Very
that's
gracious
come back
as well.
Don't forget about his information. Yeah. He brought in the information as
that's
well.
That's true. Brought the note cards.
Bringing it. Even brought a little heckling to
absolutely.
The writer from
yes
the Palm
Ben
Beach.
Volen.
No.
Ben
come
Tony,
on. Trying me to stop.
He brought a hint of professionalism to this show.
That is
Kev,
that is
behind
was.
The glass, always with the print.
Akib Talib aside. That is the case.
That but, guy I can't say.
Akib Talib.
There it is.
Got
well
it.
Done. There it is.
Now you want to try the tight end / fullback?
No, that guy's.
Michael. Oh, Manawanui. You got to sing it. That's how you get it done.
Thanks, guys. I all really right. appreciate
see
it.
Have fun. Good luck with the Toys for Tots.
That's Tony. We appreciate it. Joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And what the heck, we do it during each and every pregame show. Let's get to our Sunday six-pack.
Woo!
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, Kevin, how'd we do last week?
It was actually a good week for everyone. Everyone finished above 500. Andy led the way at 4-1-1. Adam tied him at 4-1-1.
Yeah, so Andy didn't lead the way. I was just about to quibble with that.
I was just saying.
I don't blame you. Yeah. I would have quibbled with that.
Paul Andy led the way by tying Jones. Yeah.
Paul at 3-2-1.
So H comes before J, so it's alphabetical.
Yeah, that's the way I do it.
But I was higher in the standings. Geez. I should have got to go first there.
Not by much though, Jones. Oh. He's gained on
you. I do know. By the way, Paul, you want to voice your
Why are you making me? You said the same thing.
Well, I want to.
I thought that we had dramatically different.
Do you want to file an official
week?
Complaint with the
no,
tabulations?
No, I can't file an official complaint on account of I'm very much like Andy Hart when it comes to the picks. I rarely remember who I picked, and I even more infrequently can remember the actual six games that we picked for the six pack. But I thought that we
you and
were
I
sort
you
of talking about last week
how different our picks were. Yep.
And that there were opportunities for some movement here, and that we all ended
somehow,
up finishing
roughly
with the same record.
Yeah,
I
thought that
odd.
Was odd as well. I think my record may have been a little inflated, but I don't want to file the official complaint.
You had Indy?
I don't remember.
No, I have it right here. You had Indy who covered at Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Are you guys questioning me?
I don't recall the spread or the finals of those.
No,
games.
I don't have any idea who I picked. So this is useless to me.
We'll do that off the air. We'll do that off the air. But Paul wants a second investigation of the numbers. But I just told you, I
don't because I can't remember who I picked.
I'm going to try something a little different this week.
What are
Jones?
Our games this
gonna
week?
Stoke yep. up a little music.
Oh, I like
All right.
it.
Before we do that, real quick, I just want to give a quick few updates. Sebastian Vollmer is taking the first team reps in warm-ups. Although some report, including Eric, he looks a little stiff, so there's still the possibility we see Cannon and
stiff.
Trevor Scott at left defensive end with Rob moving to right defensive end. But if they were going to go 3-4, they certainly wouldn't show it in pregame warm-up, so I wouldn't hold
Correct.
Anything Got by that. That.
And Ninkovich moving is something that we've seen with Chandler Jones
all
out.
The time.
Ninkovich
yeah.
has gone over to the other side with Chandler Jones out.
And don't forget, we will head up to the press box. We'll check in with Eric Scalavino from Miami. We'll get the feel, no doubt, from E_Scal. All right,
I don't know how that goes.
What's our first game here, Kev?
We have Seattle at Chicago. Chicago by 3.
That number seems a little small to me. Seahawks, you know, the old saying is defense travels. Well, not for the Seahawks because they never win on the road, and they're on the road. I'll take the Chicago Bears to force their turnovers, make their plays, and cover this one easily.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's really had a hard time away from Seattle, and I suppose that's the next step in his maturation process because he has played very well for them at home. I agree with Andy. I'm going to take Chicago here. I think that they will force too many turnovers, and 3 seems a little small at home.
Not to be boring, but I'm going to go with the Bears as well. You mentioned Seattle struggles on the road. 1 win at Carolina. It's the only game they've won on the road all season. What's next, Kev?
Arizona at the New York Jets. The Jets by 5.5.
Don't feel really good about these games involving bad teams, but I will take the Jets at home. Interesting that Tim Tebow has been officially listed as inactive today. You know, after getting in the crosshair, Rex Ryan found himself under the gun because evidently he couldn't play last week with broken ribs, and yet he was active as the backup quarterback. He's not active today, but I'll take the Jets at home. 2 crappy teams, I'll take the home team.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets as well. I just can't pick the Cardinals with their inept and alternating options at quarterback. You can't feel good about picking the Jets at this point in the year.
No,
but,
I don't.
They're at home. And I'm just going with that.
Lindley's been terrible. I'm going to go with the Cardinals, though. I think they can at least cover that number, though I don't feel good about them winning. I'm going to say the Cardinals. I feel like they've lost,
seven or eight in a row.
I feel like that thing is due to come to an end, too.
Alphabetical order.
And I feel like this is the week. So what's our third game?
Game 3, Jacksonville at Buffalo. Buffalo by 6.
I'll go first if you guys want.
Sure.
That would even things up. Give me the Bills at home. I think their defense has been playing pretty well. Chad Henne seems like he's been an improvement for Jacksonville, but I don't think they're good enough to hang within 6 points of Buffalo on the road. So give me the Bills.
Yeah, I'll take the road team. I think Henne has given their offense a little bit of a lift. I would feel better if the receivers were healthy for sure. I know Blackman and Shorts have been dealing with some things from a health perspective, but I think Henne is not a very good quarterback, but he can throw the football. And the Bills can't stop the pass. So I'm going to take Jacksonville to pull off an upset, but I'll take the 6 points.
I'm going to go with the Bills. I couldn't feel good about picking either team, but I have to pick one for this little game.
I agree.
I'll take the Bills at home.
No, copy in my picks. I see how it goes. What's
yeah, that's what I want
What's
to do.
Our number four?
Game 4, Tampa Bay at Denver. Denver by 7.5.
I will take Denver to win at home. They're the better football team here, and I don't think this kind of tough-minded Greg Schiano team is ready to go on the road and win this football game, even though that's what they're building towards, obviously. And I just think I still have my questions about the quarterback in Tampa, and I'll go with the better quarterback.
I hate that lingering half point there on that 7.5, but I will agree with Andy. I'll take the Broncos. I don't think Tampa's ready to go into a place. I think that's a tough place. I know Andy makes fun of me all the time. Why does Denver play there then? Tough place to win, and especially for a team that doesn't
go there.
Why would
you set up shop where it's tough to win?
You know, especially for teams that don't have much experience going there. And Tampa Bay obviously only goes to Denver once every 8 years. So I'll take the Broncos here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa Bay. I think they can hang within the
I just passed him.
The 7.5 points. I also think Denver is a little overrated at this point. And it's not that I don't think they're good, But I think all the good teams they've faced, they've basically lost to outside of Pittsburgh week one. And I know that was before Peyton Manning got his arm stretched out or whatever it was. But
you should see his face right now. There's tone in his face.
Their best win of the season was week one. So apparently Peyton Manning was just fine at that point. I think they're a little bit overrated, and I think the line reflects that. So give me Tampa Bay.
All right, game five, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore by 7.
Yeah, I don't like laying a lot of points with the Ravens ever because they just never seem to be able to score consistently. But based on the train wreck that we saw last week with Charlie Batch and that offense, I don't think it's a high-scoring offense to begin with, even with Ben. So I'm going to take the home Ravens, who appear to be getting it together a little bit on defense despite all the injuries over there. So I'll take the Ravens.
Well, they should get even better on defense, theoretically, when Ray Lewis returns in like a week from a season-ending injury that he's only suffered like a week ago.
Hoping to have him back for the game against Denver.
Yeah, December 16th, are you kidding me? Anyway, I will take Baltimore.
Baltimore
no,
Suggs,
no.
With Suggs and Ray Lewis coming back.
Who knew the Fountain of Youth moved north? I think the Ravens, I'm scared to go with the points here. I don't think that Pittsburgh will be the debacle it was last week. That was a debacle, and I just don't expect guys to be, you know, flung around, balls flying in the air like they were last week. But I am going to take Baltimore because I can't pick the Steelers even with the 7 without Ben.
Pittsburgh is 0-6 without Ben Roethlisberger against Baltimore, which is mind-boggling that they've played them that many times.
Yeah, what a fortunate turn of events for the Baltimore Ravens to have so many games against Pittsburgh without Ben.
And it doesn't mean anything for the 7 points, but I'm with you guys. I just think after watching that last week, the Ravens have had games where they've scored this year, so I think they can cover the 7 points. I also was burned by Pittsburgh 2 or 3 weeks ago whenever they played in these picks, so I'll probably get it wrong both times, but give me the
last
Ravens.
Game here, Cincinnati at San Diego, Cincinnati by 1.5.
Yeah, I think San Diego has the looks of one of those teams that is not going to win another game. And I will take Cincinnati here. I think the Bengals are building something. I think that's the nucleus of A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, I think, is giving people in Cincinnati something to be excited about moving forward. And I'll take the Bengals.
The Bengals are a team that I think always at various points in recent seasons have looked like they were building something. I think this is a game they have to win if this year
Absolutely.
They are truly building
Couldn't
something.
Couldn't agree with you more.
They should win this game. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care that the Chargers have some talent. The Cincinnati Bengals should win this football game. I think the pass rush of the Bengals is the key. They will get after Phillip Rivers and make him throw some ugly balls because he's wont to throw ugly balls. They get the job done.
Give me the Bengals as well. I think that's
just copy my picks.
That's such a
small you don't want to fall
line.
Too far behind.
No, apparently you and Paul copy all each other's picks. The only games you guys had differently was no, Buffalo and Jacksonville.
It's called being right.
Well, I guess we'll see in the standings.
Oh, we will.
They're tabulated correctly.
Yeah, except
which is,
who knows.
By the way, yeah. Jones, correct with Indy last week. Correct with Miami.
Didn't we already say we didn't want to go over this?
I'm just saying. I double checked.
No. I want to go over all the corrects. Yeah.
Push with Atlanta because it was a 1-point game.
Uh-huh.
Baltimore, correct. The Giants, correct. The Eagles was your one loss.
Well, there you go. That was a bad one. I thought I took the Packers last week, too. But I guess maybe I'm wrong about that. Anyway.
I'm almost certain that you did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did, too.
Because I remember, like, every single game we were different.
Yeah, this is a debacle.
Yeah, well, this whole picks contest.
Well, whatever. I just slipped them a few.
This whole damn game's out of order.
I slipped them a few
sawbucks. I didn't write down the picks
sawbucks on the side.
Where's this money you're slipping around? Yeah, I didn't get any of that.
That was just for the listeners' benefit. It's like the Poll Center, LePan. Is what it is.
It's
a figment of our listeners' imagination.
How come you never return to the Poll Center, by the way?
We should go back. Sorry.
That's a good idea. Let's go to the Poll Center.
Andy brought it up. Let's head back down to the Poll Center.
So, which Patriots injury worries you the most? Big question for today's game. Gronkowski, Mankins, Vollmer, Shanko, or Jones? I don't know if Shanko's actually hurt, but
Jones or Vollmer are the questions. The edges are of a concern a bit in this game. Now, if Vollmer's not hurt and he plays fine, then he's not a concern.
Right now, it's Chandler Jones at 57%. Your boy Sebastian Vollmer only 10% so far.
Who won the first one? Was this a trap game or not?
First one, let me go back to that real quick. No, 77% say no, not trap game.
We'll check back with them after the game. On the post-game show, brought to you by Sun Life.
Yeah. I am on the Vollmer side here if he's less than 100%. Chandler Jones, I am not concerned about that at all. I am not concerned. I mean, I want him back for the playoffs. I want him healthy. I think he's potentially a big part of that pass rush and stuff. But the Patriots defense sort of is what it is with pass rush, without, Yeah, we
I think everyone heard that.
Always
yeah.
hear it. Yeah. I tell you that all the time. But I'm not overly concerned about his injury. You know, in a short term kind of one game thing. I think you find a way to get by. I don't think that's a strength of the team anyway. Vollmer, if all of a sudden Brady can't set up shop and pick apart the Dolphins the way he usually does, now you're changing the way you play. So yeah, the Vollmer injury has me a little bit concerned if there, in fact, is a problem there physically and, you know, Marcus Cannon has to play.
All right. Well, and on the Vollmer thing, let's get the latest from Miami as we head up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, E-Scal, he joins us from Miami. Eric, the big thing that most fans are wondering, how does Sebastian Vollmer look in warm-ups?
I didn't like the way he looked in warm-ups, guys, honestly. He was out here early before, you know, most of the other players, and was, you know, working out with the strength coach and with Dante Scarnecchia, with Jake Beckett, the rookie, you know, trying to simulate pass rush against him. And he looked very uncomfortable then. And he didn't look much better when he came back and was working with the team against full defense and took his reps with the first team, but rotated with Marcus Cannon. And I wouldn't be surprised if he survived this whole thing.
Are you in a good area? Could you move to a more open area? We're having a little cracking problem. I don't know if you can try to get a better signal.
All right. Sorry about that. I can hear you guys fine, but I'll try and move. Hang on.
And while you're on the move, I will ask you, obviously, you know, there's a chance that Marcus Cannon and Vollmer both play in this game. There's also some uncertainty, I think, of what's going to happen on the defensive front. I saw some of the tweets indicating Trevor Scott had, you know, slid into that left defensive end spot. But have you seen anything beyond that in terms of potential that we could see more 3-4 action up front on defense?
Nothing was given away during warm-ups, guys. It was all 4-3 the whole time. They were out here as a team. I mean, you know, the two rookies are getting plenty of reps with the second team, but it looks like that.
All right, I think we're gonna have to try to get Eric back. And Eric, I apologize, but the phone.
You're in a bad cell.
Yeah, we're just having trouble getting the phone there. So we can try to get Eric back on the line here. But as he said, didn't like the way that Vollmer looked, and he was just getting into the look of the defense, as you alluded to, Andy, earlier though. How much can you or can we really read into what we see out there in pregame warmups? It's not like
right.
Bill Belichick's gonna give up the farm and give up any secrets as to the game plan with who he trots out there before the game.
Quite the opposite. I mean, we've seen specific times when he's done certain things and then gone the exact other direction when the game actually starts. So we will see. I will say, if their plan is to line up Trevor Scott for, you know, 65 snaps. I don't like that plan. I don't think Trevor Scott is an every down player. I don't think he's ready to play that much. Now I'm guessing their plan is, even if they stay 4-3, to use Scott, to use Dedrick, to use Francis. But I am very much going to be watching to see how they manipulate things on that defensive front.
And your plan was a little bit more Dedrick, right?
Yeah, I think Dedrick is a guy that has done enough here that he warrants some playing time. You know, you usually think of that left defensive end, even though Ninkovic wouldn't fall into that, is your more run stuffer, a little bit bigger of the guy, you know, that Michael Strahan, bigger body more than the Jason Taylor, lean, mean, pass-rushing machine. So I think, and I love Justin Francis. I'm hoping to see a breakout game from Justin Francis. I've liked him from day one, and some of the fire he's shown, I think he's a guy that could open some eyes if he gets some opportunities.
All right, let's head back to Miami. We have Eric with better cell reception. And, Eric, you were just getting into Andy's question about the defense with Trevor Scott right now lining up at that top spot.
Right, and hopefully you guys can hear me a little bit better.
Yes.
I'm not having any trouble with your end. But, no, I hadn't really seen anything other than the typical 4-3 front that we've seen from this team so far this year. And again, that doesn't mean that they won't do more 3-4, but – a lot of times in warmups, they don't tip their hand. And that seemed to be the case today. We were seeing Scott and Ninkovic at either end, with Beckett and Francis coming in with their second team reps. So if they plan to do anything different, they're not showing us right now.
Another question, obviously, and I don't know if you're getting a vibe of the general feeling there, not just from the media, but, you know, I'm expecting, I've seen some tweets that, you know, I would assume you'd agree that it looks like a 50-50 crowd, potentially a lot of Patriots fans. Is there any trepidation in the media or even fans you've come across that this is a trap game, they could lose this?
That it's a trap game?
Yeah.
No, I haven't really gotten that vibe. I mean, I think because this is a potential division-clinching game for New England, that everyone expects them to take it seriously and not to look past them. So I'm not getting that vibe at all from anybody down here that they're taking this game lightly.
Anything else you've picked up on pregame that you'd like to share? Anything coming from the Dolphins side? First impressions, I would say. I always like to do the eyeball test. Ryan Tannehill, young rookie quarterback, athlete. What have you seen from him?
Well, I wasn't really looking too much at him because I was trying to focus more on our defensive issues. So I can't really give you my honest assessment of him. Sorry about that. But you're right about the crowd, though. It's very heavily Patriots skewed here, as it almost always is. So if you hear a lot of cheering when the Patriots do well, that's not you don't have to adjust your set. That's pretty much the case down here.
Okay, before we let you go, last question. Have you seen any hotties today?
Plenty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the place is crawling with them.
That's the only thing I miss.
As is always the case here as well.
Oh, hot. Nothing like a Patriots game in December with tatas on display.
Oh, yeah, there are plenty of them.
All right, see you, Eric.
All right.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from Miami. We got the thoughts there. Yeah, I can't hear you either.
Yeah, it's on.
Now it is.
Sorry, that was my fault.
That's his fault.
I turned it off when you exited for
in case like someone ran by and screamed something into my
mic. No. I try to beat it once because sometimes you put the headphones down.
I'm sorry, what?
I try to beat it.
What's that
beating
now?
It in studio? What?
I told you he has those wipes.
Wipes.
Jesus.
That burns. It burns when I pee.
Let's go back to the emails, I guess.
Whack off.
Yeah, we should probably not go back to Kevin anymore.
You never know. We could just whack off.
Or Paul, apparently.
Webradio, patriots.com. Andy's
what exactly
buddy,
was the context of that?
Andy's buddy Al writes in.
Fat Al, how you doing?
Al from Italy. Andy, you sound, if possible, a lot more stupid in Spanish. Anyway,
well, I should.
Anyway, I still don't trust this team. Do you? For me, blowing up awful teams is not enough. As always, less Andy, more Paul.
You know what? We're not going to get the answer to that question until
February 4th.
Until it's time. You know, until you get the playoffs. It's. I agree with him. These games are not... You know, people keep asking me the last few weeks, and obviously Fat Tony sort of fell in line with this. I want to see more aggressive, you know, I want to continue this aggressive defense. I really haven't seen that. I've seen bigger leads the last two games than they've had, and therefore, you know, let's dial it up and get after it and cause a turnover and do this and do that. You're not going to know if they're going to be able to do that against a quality opponent because they don't play quality opponents. They just don't play a lot of them. It's a very easy schedule. We've been saying it all year long. They'll have two games the next 2 weeks that will be tests in Houston and San Francisco. But the balance of this schedule, I mean, Adam, you sort of poo-pooed Andy and I picking Denver in that game and said that the Broncos' best win is Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Patriots' best win?
Probably Denver.
And anything else? No.
No, probably not.
You know, so... That's the NFL in 2012.
Well, Baltimore. I mean, they actually won. I mean, the field goal was, you know.
Yeah, you know, Eric's not here anymore, so we go in reality and what actually happened on the field.
I mean, and you're right.
They lost.
I mean, it was at home, but still, they beat them head-to-head. I mean, the team that we're discussing, they beat them head-to-head.
I'm not saying anything about Denver being better, but we're belittling Denver because they have one quality win. Yet,
who's we?
No, Adam.
No, me, yes.
And in this case, it would be Adam.
I was, yes.
And
idiota.
We're ignoring the fact that the Patriots have one quality win at home against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, to me, I think Andy's point, and he's been on this all
season long.
Does
Denver have any
long,
bad losses?
I don't think so. I think they lost a good – they lost at Atlanta.
Houston.
And they lost at home to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know –
do the Patriots have any bad losses?
Sure.
I'm just asking.
You know, I think that they played better teams than the Patriots have played. I'll say that. They have the same record, but I think they've had a tougher schedule.
No,
now,
I know. I'm just
these
my
next
point
two
would
games
be,
are going to make the schedules
probably
even.
Patriots lost to two teams that, while at one point looked good, don't look as good anymore.
Yeah, the Patriots beat them head-to-head. Like, again, I know it was here.
No, but
so,
I'm not saying
yeah.
that
no,
the
no,
Patriots
the
are better or worse than Denver. I'm
teams.
Not ignoring Denver's 8-3. Like you sort of did.
No, well,
because they only beat one good team. I'm not ignoring the Patriots 8-3.
I didn't say I thought they were bad. I just said I thought they
you
were.
Think they're overrated.
I think
well,
they're overrated,
then you think
yes.
the Patriots are overrated too. You should because they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we've seen.
I mean, Denver is
like
played
seen,
good teams.
Maybe I'm getting caught up in the turnovers and the big points numbers. I don't know. I feel like we've seen a little bit of a different team,
yeah,
and perhaps some of that is the easier portion of the schedule.
I'm certainly not saying that the Broncos are better than the Patriots. I don't believe that. I don't think that they are better than the Patriots. But I'm not dismissing Denver like you so flippantly are.
Just said I thought they were overrated. Not dismissing them.
Dismissed.
Continue
your
with
tone
emails.
Dismissed them.
You is
Web
dismissed.
Radio. Web radio. Patriots.com.
Like
Tracy writes in, does Vereen get a chance to
Denver
make a
is okay
today?
With that. If they are as powerful in the end as that hurricane that he dismissed was,
no, that
then
I went,
they're going to win the Super
that
Bowl.
That I went to Starbucks in the bar in, yeah. Does Vereen get a chance to make a statement today? Considering Bolden is back from suspension tomorrow, is that correct? The second part of that, Bolden's
he's
back?
He's eligible yeah. to return tomorrow.
Okay. So does
Vereen don't forget that he, don't forget he had a knee injury when he went on to
crutches.
I don't know what his situation is, but Vereen, I think, has come on.
And Vereen has established himself, in my opinion,
yeah.
that when he's healthy, he's going to get some chances, that they like him. I think both Belichick and McDaniels have spoken glowingly about him all along, saying it's all about health. If he can stay on the field, we like him as a playmaker. He's going to get opportunities. And, you know, Woodhead's become what he should be, kind of a limited complimentary
Five to ten snaps, 15 last
2 weeks, it's been Vereen taking away those mm-hmm. 5 to 10 snaps from Woodhead and making the most of them. Obviously, the biggest play was last week on Thanksgiving when he had the 80-something yard touchdown. And that's, to me, the comparison, not really Bolden. I think Bolden is a guy who gets some carries here and there in spelling Ridley, but I think Vereen right now
would be cutting
Andy's right. Belichick 2 weeks ago talking about wanting, hopefully we can continue to get him those snaps and make him a bigger part of the offense. And I don't think he says that all the time about different guys.
Nope.
I thought that to me was telling, that they want to get Vereen more involved in this offense.
All right, final thoughts before we get out of here.
I like the Patriots in another one of those games where they're causing turnovers and creating havoc and building a lead that Miami doesn't have the firepower to keep up with. I'm going to go 38-23.
Paul's right. 3-1 turnover ratio differential, whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, 34 difference for those two teams. That's the biggest number in football. That's all that matters. 33-13 Patriots cruising.
I'm going to go 42-14. Just came up with it just now. So that's what I'm going to go with for my projection.
So not a trap, according to the staff of the Patriots pregame social.
I don't think we framed it that way, right? I mean, I don't think we really, other than just openly discussing your thoughts on people calling it a trap game, I certainly don't feel that way.
And, I mean, historically, you have to look at history. You can't just poo-poo history. But as Bill likes to say, what happened 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 months, isn't really all that big a deal. Where are the two teams right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Belichick and Brady in the turnovers against a team that's young, coaching, and turns the ball over. Thanks.
All right. That'll do it for us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Enjoy Patriots and Dolphins. We're about 15 minutes away from kickoff in Miami. And I'll talk to you on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show right here on Patriots.com.
I got to work.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Miami Dolphins.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and it is picked up at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.